The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
Today is Thursday, July 16th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, Governor Tom Wolf announced new statewide mitigation efforts as Pennsylvania reported about 1,000 new coronavirus infections on Wednesday. Wolf says three catalysts have been linked to case increases. Some Pennsylvanians ignoring the mask-wearing requirements and social distancing rules while visiting bars and restaurants, out-of-state travel, and lack of national coordination. Wolf said, We're already at a tipping point where we really have to act. He said, we don't want to become Florida, Texas, and Arizona, naming three states where the virus has been surging. Wolf is reinstating restrictions to help combat the surge. Bars and restaurants that allow indoor dining will only be able to seat 25% of their capacity. The previous restriction was set at 50% capacity. Outdoor dining will not be affected. Wolf says alcohol can be served for on-premise consumption when it is in the same transaction as a meal. Cocktails to go and carry-out beverages are still permitted.
Is he allowing the 6-foot straw rule, or is that going to happen?
You can stand across the street.
You're 6 feet away through a long straw.
Wolf says telework must be implemented whenever possible and that indoor gatherings will be limited to 25 people and outdoor gatherings remain at a maximum of 250 people. All gyms and fitness facilities, while permitted to continue indoor operations, are directed to prioritize outdoor physical fitness activities. Businesses and individuals in violation of these orders could be subject to fines, business closures, or other applicable enforcement measures. A pediatrician at CHOP says his team is seeing an increase in cases in Philadelphia. Wolf and Pennsylvania Secretary of Health Rachel Levine also added that much of the Commonwealth is seeing an increase. The health department reported 994 new coronavirus cases Wednesday, bringing the statewide total to more than 97,000. The health department reported the results of nearly 29,000 virus tests, the highest one-day total since the beginning of the pandemic. Health officials also reported 26 new deaths.
So for the past 4 months, we've been just given an influx of information on how things are transmitted and passed and, you know, how to protect yourself and all that sort of stuff. And I've forgotten so much and I don't know what's accurate. How do you know what I mean?
No one knows what's accurate.
But real quick, the surfaces and stuff like that, were they saying that it's not transmitted as much?
It's nominal. So okay. There was an actual chart that it seems to be being accepted by a lot of people. I can send it to you. But the surface thing is nominal.
So it's more like droplets.
When they were coming out saying, like, you know, it lives this amount of time on, you know, cardboard or this amount of time, like, I feel like that was getting, like, may have been getting a little ridiculous.
I mean,
they're still saying you still have to wipe down surfaces. I mean, if you go to any restaurant, any store, I mean, changing rooms.
I still do a quick, like, if I go to a store and there's been something that's at the end of a shelf that I think might have been touched a couple of times, I get it in, I give it a quick wipe.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like anything, like doorknobs. Like, do you know what I mean? Where germs could go.
No, I lick those.
Yeah. I open doors with my mouth. What are you talking about?
Because you don't want to touch them.
I wipe things down. Kathy, I went and got my nails done yesterday. I had wipes with me. I wiped everything. I wiped my own chair down, even though they were clean themselves and stuff. But a couple of months ago, when I went food shopping, I brought everything home, left it in the garage, and I wiped everything down individually. And
you don't
I have
to do that anymore.
I'm not doing that anymore.
Well, I stopped that anyway.
Yeah, but it's confusing because you've got everything from it's not real, it's a hoax, to don't do anything, don't touch anything, don't go anywhere.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so somewhere
that's why I wipe off every other cheese ball.
Oh.
So I can understand why it's confusing.
Yeah.
In case there is, and then you get like these little reports where like it lives on cardboard for, you know, 2.5 hours, like whatever it is,
I'm kind of with you, Preston, is that you do as much as you can.
Do what you can.
And don't drive yourself crazy.
Be careful.
Yeah.
And don't drive yourself crazy.
But the obvious thing is that the most important is the washing your hands. And not if you touch your face, make sure you've just washed your hands or done hand sanitizer. And that the doctors say pretty much the point of access for the virus all the time, 99% of the time, is through the tip of your nose on the inside.
That's for protecting yourself and protecting others. Yeah. The mask is the key as well. So you need to adhere to that.
The Philadelphia School District, meanwhile, announced Wednesday that it plans to resume limited in-person instruction in the fall, with most students in class just 2 days per week and then learning remotely the other 3 days. One person is dead and multiple others are injured after a car stop turned into a police chase and then ended in a crash in Delaware County, according to reports on police radio. It happened just after 1 a.m. at the intersection of McDade Boulevard and Oak Lane in Glen Olden. Rescue crews arrived to the scene to find a crash involving an SUV and another vehicle. First responders said police were following the driver of the Ford SUV from Darby when the SUV collided with another car. There were multiple people in each vehicle, and according to emergency dispatch, multiple people were transported to area hospitals. Officials have not released their conditions. The force of the crash was so great that one of the vehicles was propelled onto a nearby Walgreens property. Reports are that one person was found dead in the car. Police covered the vehicle, one of the vehicles, with a tarp. Police said the driver of the SUV tried to flee on foot after the crash but was caught and arrested. Multiple agencies remained on the scene for hours. They just reopened that roadway and have cleared everything out. Philadelphia city officials are now leaving the door open to the possibility of allowing fans to attend Eagles games this season. On Tuesday, Mayor Jim Kenney held a news conference announcing a moratorium on large public events through February 2021. Kenney said the order did not apply to stadiums. Still, later in the news conference, other city leaders seemed to close the door on having fans attend in person this upcoming season due to the coronavirus pandemic. On Wednesday, Kenney's office reiterated that the moratorium did not apply to stadiums, but added the current safety measures under the green phase of Philadelphia's reopening plan do not allow for crowds of more than 50 people.
And this goes to the point you were saying, Presser, right? People don't know what the hell is going on.
Yeah.
Well, because you're hearing, where do we stand? What's the deal?
I just said there's more restrictions, and right. Now they're saying, but maybe we can go to an Eagles game.
We don't even know if we want to go either. I mean, every season ticket holder that I know has opted out for this season.
I never wanted to go except for Marissa.
You didn't opt out of it?
She has not opted out yet. I don't know.
I'm going to be a theorist, and I think this is so that they can finish collecting season ticket holder money.
Maybe.
Just going to throw it out there. I there's no way we're going to be in a stadium. We can't do a parade. We can't do festivals.
They say it's 100% safe.
They shut down any bars or breweries or wineries that don't serve food are not allowed to be open now. Like, there's no chance we're going to be sitting in a stadium.
I don't know. There was a NASCAR event. Do you have that coming up in the viewers? Yeah. So we'll get to that in a little bit.
Oh, man. Wear your mask.
Yeah. So the message is clear.
So we're clear, right? We're clear on this?
Yeah, everything is clear.
So they're saying that the measures obviously could change as COVID-19 evolves. The Eagles and the city of Philadelphia remain in close communication. Both entities are committed to the health and safety of the players, employees, fans, and community. The city and the Eagles have been working together during this time and will continue to do so. The Eagles have been planning for a variety of scenarios in accordance with league protocols as well as local and state guidelines, read a statement from Mayor Kenny's office. The Eagles have yet to confirm the situation. Other teams have announced that they plan to fill their stadiums to 20% capacity as long as their local state municipalities allow it. In sports this morning. Flyers head coach Alain Mignot has been named one of the three finalists for the Jack Adams Award, the NHL's version of the Coach of the Year Award. Bruce Cassidy of the Boston Bruins and John Tortorella of the Columbus Blue Jackets were also nominated. This is the fifth time that Vigneault's career that he has been named a finalist, which is an NHL record. He won the award for the 2007 season when he was with the Vancouver Canucks. Myles Garrett's contract extension with the Cleveland Browns contains $100 million in total guarantees, the most ever paid to a defensive player, with $50 million guaranteed at signing. The Browns' star pass rusher signed the record-setting five-year extension yesterday with a deal worth a total of $125 million. The $25 million average salary is also a record for a defensive player. And up to 30,000 fans were permitted to attend yesterday's NASCAR All-Star Race at Bristol Motor Speedway in Tennessee. According to reports, it appears that at least 20,000 spectators were socially distanced throughout the grandstands. Like, how did they come up with that number? Likely making this the largest sporting event in the United States since the winter. The stadium also had held driver introductions for a race for the first time since NASCAR returned from its hiatus on May 17th. Chase Elliott was dominant throughout the race on his way to his first career All-Star victory. He won stages 2 and 3 before holding off Kyle Busch in the 15-lap sprint to finish during stage 4, and Elliott took home the $1 million prize as a result. And finally, rapper Post Malone has a new face tattoo, receiving the autograph of Super Bowl champion Patrick Mahomes permanently inked on his body after losing a game of beer pong. In a recent interview with GQ magazine, Mahomes said this happened the day of the parade in downtown Kansas City when he and teammate Travis Kelce went to a Post Malone concert that happened to be going on the same night. The rapper invited the two backstage and challenged them to what started out as a friendly game of beer pong. After Malone lost the friendly bet, Mahomes said, "Dude, you don't actually have to get a tattoo of our autographs." Malone had a tattoo artist right there in the room with them and went through with his part, telling GQ he thinks it's the only tattoo he's ever gotten after losing a bet.
Wow, my God.
And that's what I have for you this morning.
And so that's the story. Post Malone has a tattoo artist with him at all the time, and he can just get one on his face whenever he wants to.
I think that's prudent.
Must be it.
Yeah. Well, how could you be small. No, how could you be so dumb to get into a beer pong match with the best quarterback in the NFL? You figure he's probably got some decent hand-eye coordination and aim, right?
Yeah. Maybe he intended on losing the whole time just to get this. Wow. Okay. Welcome to Thursday. We got the majority of the work week on its way behind us now, and we're going to give away for the Word of the Week prize tomorrow the Pisek Round Barbecue and Fire Pit Kit from Landis Block. So we'll get you closer to that today. We also have a guest on the show. It's the return of Flyers hockey, NHL. That is correct. They are back at practice. They're going to face off against the Bruins. As of now, it's August 2nd. For that to take place.
And the good news, Preston, is they're letting everyone in and they're letting no one in.
Right.
To watch the game. So
we just want to be clear so you know.
It's awesome.
We're going to have JVR, James Van Riemsdyk, on the show.
That's so cool.
This morning, and just to see where his head is at and, what he thinks about the upcoming season or remainder of the season.
Yeah, so, yeah.
We'll talk to him around 9 o'clock. So that is our lone guest of the day. So we have some stuff to give away, things to do, some announcements to make. So we'll take a quick break, come back in a second. Stupid question and entertainment report is on the way. So stay with us.
Love MMR? Buy some gear. Check out the Rock Shop at WMMR.com. Snazzy.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
So the stupid question prize today, yet again, is a $50 Bonefish grill gift card. And I'm going to continue our theme this week. And this question, courtesy of Casey, and that is, why is the carpet all wet, Todd? 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer to that. Why is the carpet all wet, Todd? 215-263-WMMR. Call right now. I'm going to go through some birthdays while we are waiting that call from you. And we have some good ones. Today being Thursday, July 16th, the beautiful Phoebe Cates turns 57 years old. And her and Kevin Kline have been married for a long time.
A long time. I just watched, I told you, there's a series of movies, documentaries about pop culture movies. And they did Fast Times at Ridgemont High. And here's the scene. Here's the music for this scene. One of the iconic scenes in any movie.
It's considered one of the greatest topless scenes of all time. Absolutely. And she was just, I mean, the perfect gal at that time. Just
absolutely, yeah.
Stunningly beautiful. But once she and Kevin Kline officially became a couple, they decided to go a little more the traditional family route. She backed out of acting. And he continued on in his career. But the kids became the focus of her life. And so she turns 57 today. This is a photo of her that we're looking at. Okay.
She looks good. She looks different. Yeah, she's much different.
She looks momish.
57. Momish. Yeah. So happy birthday. Will Ferrell's birthday is today.
Yeah.
Will Ferrell is 53 years old. I remember, like, the first couple of seasons of him on Saturday Night Live. I never would have pegged him to be the superstar that he became.
I all I knew is that he cracked me up a lot, and a lot of it had to do with him yelling. His yelling was very funny.
So loud.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then it parlayed into things. And he was at the initial parts of his film career. We talked about this. You'd go to see a movie Will Ferrell was in, and you'd say, okay. And then you'd see it again, and you go, oh,
yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, it's funny.
He's one of those. Right. Grows on you.
I loved him when he was on SNL, when he used to do the cheerleading bit. Like, that was probably one of my all-time favorites.
No kidding. The Spartans?
Yeah.
Well, the first sketch that caught my attention was they were neighbors on the decks of their houses, and they were sort of calling to their kids playing in the background, in the backyard.
Yeah.
And one of the parents to the left of them were like, oh, come on, kids. And he was, come on!
So he's 53 today. Singer Ed Kowalczyk, lead singer of the band Live, is 49.
He was the it guy for a while, man. He was the heartthrob.
When that band hit, man, they were huge.
Gigantic.
Yeah, Throwing Copper. When that came out, it just catapulted them. I was familiar with their album before, Mental Jewelry, and I liked a couple of the songs. Yet again, a band that I didn't peg that would take off like they would. I'm like, all right, it's cool, it's funky, it's you know, very alt, cool rock. And then they came out with Throwing Copper, and they had like four huge songs on that album.
And he had the look, though.
Yeah.
They came to Ursinus when I was a freshman there. I had no idea who they were at all. It was like really, it was in the first semester of my freshman year. You're like, okay, well, there's this band that's going to be playing at the gym. Let's just go check them out, you know?
And a PA band, too. Like, you think, all right, these are local guys. Yeah, and that year, Casey, because, like, 93 to 94, they went from playing Ursinus and the TLA to 94, they were playing the Spectrum. Like, they got so fast. It's so big so fast.
Is it your, is it Dennis, Kathy, that hates Live?
Hated them. He despises them.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, despises them.
I remember that story, yeah.
All right.
What Tony Danza is to your dad, Live is to.
Yes.
Ed is 49. It's Corey Feldman's birthday. Corey Feldman is not unlike Ed Kowalczyk. He is 49 today.
And a great musician.
What a musician.
Unbelievable.
Oh, my God.
Some people were asking because, you know, we had Alex Winter on it on Twitter. Why have you guys never tried to get Corey Feldman out? We've had him on.
Yeah.
We've pissed him off. He's blocked us because we had the audacity to suggest that perhaps acting is better for him.
Forget it.
Than music.
Listen, okay, I understand tone-deaf people that think they can sing.
Right.
That's fine. But after you've tried and tried and tried, especially with the resources that he already had enough, you know, notoriety to get his foot in the door.
And time again.
It didn't work.
Right.
You should have known by now. It's not going to work.
It's not a big secret, and suddenly the world is going to go, oh, my God.
I know.
We were wrong.
I know.
My favorite performance?
Yeah.
The Today Show.
Right.
Yeah. With the Kitty Kitty song.
Yeah. Oh, God. How old is he, Press?
He is 49.
Okay. So has there ever been an artist that really broke in their 49? Late 40s?
Yeah.
No.
If it hadn't happened, and especially when it's of a pop vein like he was going for, if it hasn't happened by the time you're like 25, man, it ain't gonna happen.
You know, he could be likable, though. He was on the Goonies, the reunion thing that was just on recently, and he was up and for it.
If he would just focus that energy on acting,
please,
he could possibly still have a career in that vein. So, 49 today. Today is Stuart Copeland's birthday. One of my all-time favorite drummers, and one of drummers' all-time favorite drummers. I was showing Casey. There's a website. It's called Drumeo, and it's fantastic. It's a great repository of amazing drummers, and they recently had a greatest drummers of all time poll.
Yeah,
and sure enough, he came in at number 10, and I mean that's amongst some of the great jazz drummers and people of all these different genres. So Stuart is held in high regard. He's a drummer's drummer.
He's a vigorous drummer too, right?
Yeah. He's very aggressive. And I remember Casey when he finally saw Stuart perform live with this band Oysterhead, which Trey Anastasio is in it, and from Primus.
Les Claypool,
yeah. And Casey came back from the show. He's like, I didn't know he was that good.
Yeah. Well, he kicked the whole concert off, right? So, like, it's only a trio, but he came up, sat up on the riser, sat down at the drum kit. I don't even think Trey or Les were even out on the stage yet. And then he just started on the drums. And I was like, oh, this dude is solid.
He's the real deal.
And he sits up right? Like,
well, he sits up high and his drums are flat. He had a really unique thing about him from the very beginning. And some drummers have copied that style now. But anyhow, he's 68 today. Mike.
Good morning, Preston. You can kiss my ass.
That's him. Thank you. Good morning, Stuart, and happy birthday.
One of my favorites.
It's also Michael Flatley's birthday.
Oh, Lord of the Dance.
Yes, the River Dance man himself, the Lord of the Dance.
Lord of the River and the Dancing with the River.
Is 62.
Dude, that, like, just thundered for a while.
Yeah. You know what? Every now and then it'll pop back up and they'll go back on tour. Obviously, they haven't since the COVID stuff has been going on, and they'll sell out.
And it's cool to watch when they're doing
it. It's Irish tap dancing. Yeah.
So he's 62 today. You know what? And then let's see. Also, two more quick birthdays. Daryl Chill Mitchell, the actor.
Yeah.
He's in a wheelchair. He had an accident years and years ago, and he is paralyzed from the waist down.
So in Galaxy Quest, he had, he was obviously had his mobility and everything. And I think the accident happened while that show Ed was being.
Oh man,
might have been. Yeah, he was on that show.
All right, I know who that guy is, and he's in a wheelchair, and he shows up in Fear the Walking Dead. And it's not...
He's actually in the wheelchair.
Yeah. Okay.
And he's on CSI New Orleans, I think. Yeah. But yeah.
NCIS.
NCIS, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. But yeah, he...
it was a car accident,
wasn't
it?
That's legit, yeah. We had him on years and years ago. Super nice guy. He's 55 today. And then last birthday, professional soccer player Carly Lloyd.
Ah.
And,
Lloyd!
Local resident, Lloyd. She is celebrating her 38th birthday today. So happy birthday.
Lloyd!
To you, Carly Lloyd. All right, let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question, and it is as follows. Why is the carpet all wet, Todd? 215-263-WMMR. I will go to Joey for the answer. Hey, Joey, how you doing?
Hey, sorry you guys have to work.
No, it's okay. Honestly appreciate that. Joey, why is the carpet all wet, Todd?
I don't know, Margo.
That's it. I don't know, Margo. Yep. Hang on, Joey. We'll get your information, and we're going to set you up with a $50 Bonefish Grill gift card. Summer's here. Catch the flavors of the season at Bonefish Grill and enjoy Key West ahi tuna, topped with roasted shrimp, fresh tomatoes and avocados, finished with a sweet chili mango vinaigrette. Pair it perfectly with the Coral Reef Punch, and you can order delivery via DoorDash or Uber Eats and dine in. Visit bonefishgrill.com. And I don't have a question for tomorrow to finish the theme. Do you do?
I just wrote one down. I'll run it by you later.
All right.
Okay.
So I'll take suggestions, by the way, if you want to email me. So, all right. I got some interesting stories today. We're going to start with this one. We mentioned Nick Cannon yesterday. He has now apologized for recent comments that he made on his Cannon's Class podcast that were deemed anti-Semitic. He tweeted last night, first and foremost, I extend my deepest and most sincere apologies to my Jewish sisters and brothers for the hurtful and divisive words that came out of my mouth during my interview with Richard Griffin. They reinforced the worst stereotypes of a proud and magnificent people who I feel ashamed of the uninformed and naive place that these words came from. The video of this interview has since been removed.
Well, that's a 180.
He says, I apologize for putting them in such a painful position, which was never my intention, but I know this whole situation has hurt many people, and together we'll make it right.
So do we know his status on Masked Singer, Preston?
I have all that coming up. He said, I have dedicated my daily efforts to continuing conversations to bring the Jewish community and the African-American communities closer together, embracing our differences and sharing our commonalities. Prior to his apology, he had responded to Viacom CBS, who had announced that they had severed ties with him earlier in the week, saying, I created a billion-dollar brand that expanded across a multi-tiered empire that is still Viacom's biggest digital brand, touring business, talent discovery, and incubation system, and successful restaurant franchise. Based on trust and empty promises, my ownership was swindled away from me. For Viacom to be so deceptive is no surprise. They have been mistreating and robbing our community for years, underpaying talent on their biggest brands like Love and Hip Hop, all of BET programming, and of course, Wild and Out. He continued saying, I demand full ownership of my billion-dollar Wild and Out brand that I created, and they will continue to misuse and destroy without my leadership. I demand that the hate and backdoor bullying cease. And while we are at it, now that the truth is out, I demand the apology. I don't know Wild and Out. You guys know what that is?
He created that show.
It's a show?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
He later said that Viacom-CBS decisions were unwise and claimed that he has received death threats. He added, Viacom's goal to keep me from providing for my family and lineage will be foiled. They can try to kick me while I'm down or force me to kiss the master's feet in public for shame and ridicule, but instead I stand firm on my square with my fist in the air, repeating my mantra, you can't fire a boss.
So
this is before he apologized.
Okay. Okay.
He didn't
so this
is
the this was the and then came the apology after this.
Now, okay. Meanwhile, Fox has released a statement saying that Nick will keep his job as host of The Masked Singer.
All right.
The network released a statement saying, when we were made aware of Nick Cannon's interview with Richard Griffin on YouTube, we immediately began a dialogue with Nick. He is clear and remorseful.
I'm thrilled to hear this because I don't watch the show and I could care less.
That his words were wrong and lacked both understanding and context and inadvertently promoted hate. This was important for us to observe. The statement continued saying Nick has sincerely apologized and quickly taken steps to educate himself and make amends.
Yeah, the best thing is not about hate. It's about stupidity.
On that basis, and given a belief that this moment calls for dialogue, we will move forward with Nick and help him advance this important conversation broadly. Fox condemns all forms of hate directed toward any community, and we will combat bigotry of any kind.
Now, so put the goddamn carrot suit on.
He stays on as host.
All right.
All right. Now, on to other things. And the hits, as you said yesterday, Steve, keep on coming.
Yeah.
In the Johnny Depp and Amber Heard story.
We've needed this divorce.
It's very entertaining to watch.
Honestly. Well, I should say not divorce, but this legal wrangling, this entanglement.
So this whole thing continued as Depp's former estate manager, Ben King, testified in London's High Court. Now, King told the court that he frequently witnessed Heard, quote, goading and attempting to provoke Mr. Depp, who he never saw be violent or unkind toward Ms. Heard or indeed towards anyone else. He said,
I got your nose. Give me back my nose.
He said, of what I heard of their arguments, they could start from very banal beginnings. On one occasion in London, I recall Ms. Heard complained that Mr. Depp had removed his hand from hers, and she complained along the lines of, maybe you don't love me. The argument then carried on.
I could see her being that way.
And escalated seriously. The way they argued could make them seem like school children, he said.
One of the most physical fights, Preston, erupted over how Bath Fitters covers over your old bathtub. Mm. I mean, come on.
Well, I don't even know.
We'll fight.
So King said that he saw Ms. Heard as the antagonizer, while Depp, quote, seemed keen to walk out of or away from arguments. He said, I want to make it clear that I did not see any violence at any time. I do not want to accuse Ms. Heard of anything, but this was what I saw of the pattern of their arguments. He also said that Depp left her notes saying, I love you and let's not do this again.
What does this mean, I live you?
No, I love you. King also spoke out about a 2015 trip to Australia in which Depp is accused of assaulting Heard and destroying a home in a drink and drug fueled rage. He denies it and accuses Heard of severing his finger. Of course, we know that with the vodka bottle. She denies it. King said he found, quote, a significant amount of damage at the home and discovered Depp's severed fingertip on the floor.
Oh, my God. So there was that much of a finger left.
Yeah. He said that on the...
Whose fingertip?
On the flight back to L.A., Heard had asked him...
My fingers.
This is Amber asking this guy,
yeah,
have you ever been so angry with someone that you just lost it? He said, now, I replied that that had never happened to me. She seemed incredulous and asked again, you have never been so angry with someone that you just lost it. And again, I answered that I had not, and Ms. Heard did not continue on this topic. Mm. The question seemed alarming to me, given the severity of the damage I had earlier witnessed at the house and the apparent serious injury to Mr. Depp's finger. So all this stuff now, this is all, you know.
Again, you're hearing
this
from
this one side witness, so far.
Yes, right. Absolutely.
But
it does. It is a lot.
And a lot of it is pointing towards her.
I dated a girl years ago that was that sort of, would be the, if your hand slipped out of hers for a second.
Why?
Why'd
you do that?
Because you don't love me anymore.
Yeah.
I just don't feel like holding hands anymore. Yeah.
My hands sweat.
They're clammy. And you smell like burned rubber.
So listen to this. Here's another interesting story. Now, Heard's former personal assistant also gave evidence remotely saying that the actress stole her own story of being a sexual assault survivor and twisted it into her own story. So Amber took her personal assistant, she's saying, her yes. personal assistant's story of sexual assault and pawned it off as her own.
No way.
There was enough of the original story in her related story.
That it sounded like
it
her
sounded
own.
Like, so much so that the assistant said, wait a second.
Yeah, I've heard this before.
Yeah.
This
yeah,
happened
this
to
is me.
Me. So Kate James is her name. She said, this, of course, caused me extreme distress and outrage that she would dare to attempt to use the most harrowing experience of my life as her own narrative. She said, I'm here for my own reasons. I am a sexual violence survivor, and that's very, very serious to take the stance if you are not one and I am one. That's the reason I'm here, because I take offense. So this is her personal assistant.
Do we know the story or
no? No, but James said that Heard felt she was, quote, above the law, and claimed that she, quote, did not care about throwing anyone under the bus if it meant saving her own skin. James also claims that she regularly received drunken messages from 2 a.m. to 4 a.m. She said Amber would drink vast quantities of red wine each night. Wow. Now, there was some evidence against Depp.
All right, let's hear it. Because well. You got to be fair.
And this is apparently, let me see, who is this from? It doesn't
say. He never rewound his videotapes.
Oh, you rat. Yeah. He dubbed Amber effing scum and threatened to, quote, fix her flabby fat ass in a nasty text message to James, to Kate James.
So she cut his finger off.
Yeah.
And he sent her an angry text.
Yeah. In a nasty text message to James sent 2 days before they officially split.
So, all right. I don't know, man. If this is a jury, to get on a jury, this would be a jury you'd want to be on. Yeah. In fact, I demand they'd serve you popcorn. Yeah.
Johnny also called her a 50-cent stripper and a gold digger, too.
So that's the evidence against him?
Yeah, that's
it. That he called her names? Uh-huh. Okay. Yep. So here's the deal.
I mean, come on. If this was a seesaw, it would be weighted down on Heard's side.
I will say, though, that the poop in the bed really should have been in the final act of this whole thing, right? We got that too early. That would have been...
You burst into the courtroom.
Yes. Right,
yeah, wait a second. Honor, new evidence has come to you. She took a crap in the bed.
So there will be more.
Yeah.
There will be more. We'll have it for you. All right, I have some other things to get to. Chrissy Teigen is concerned about her family safety. Internet trolls continue to accuse her of somehow being involved in the Jeffrey Epstein sex scandal. As many will recall, he was convicted of sex trafficking and so on. The connection between Teigen and Epstein began when Teigen's name was listed on being on a flight log for his plane. Tom Hanks has also been linked to the plane, but according to Reuters, there's no truth to the claims. Teigen has never been formally named by authorities as a person with a link, but the conspiracies continue, so people are throwing this out there. She took to Twitter and said that she had recently deleted over 60,000 tweets because she, quote, cannot effing stand the individuals who are using her tweets as alleged evidence of her connection to Epstein's close associate, Ghislaine Maxwell, and she continued saying, I'm worried for my family. Finding me talking about toddlers and tiaras in 2013 and thinking you're some sort of effing operative. She tweeted early Wednesday, I've blockchained over 1 million people. 1 million people today.
How do you blockchain someone?
I don't know. And I am still flooded with sick psychopaths, so please spare me the just ignore them. They're just trolls. I said, anyhow, I'm doing my best to stop entertaining them. They've definitely been living for this and have zeroed in on only me. Thank you to everyone for helping me in and out of the DMs. People I've never met before have been so kind, and a huge thank you to. And then she has a username here tagged. She said, especially Yashar is the person's name. Spent an entire day helping me nonstop and sends me funny pictures and lets me vent and cry and gives me his therapist. I love you, man.
There are some celebrities that turn their social media accounts over to teams, and some celebrities decide to do it on their own, and she's one that has decided to do it on her own. And you know, for the most part, I'm sure that it's been fine, but like you run the risk of when you're personally going out and putting yourself out there of dealing with trolls and idiots, you know, right. And she's having to deal with those consequences now. It sucks.
So she's eliminated 60,000 emails?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, so.
I mean, tweets.
Tweets, yeah.
Tweets, yeah.
Yeah, you can time delete, you know, right. So you can say everything before 2015 or whatever.
Right.
Huh. This is a wonderful story. This kid got hurt, but this is such a great story. A woman named Nikki Walker, she's the aunt of this child that she mentions here. She did what family members do every day. She took to social media to share a touching story about the kids she adores. She wrote of her six-year-old nephew. His name is Bridger. She said, "My nephew is a hero who saved his little sister from an attacking dog. He himself took on the attack so that the dog wouldn't get his sister." She said, "He later said, if someone was going to die, I thought it should be me."
Oh, so his face got pretty cut up, and that's where the stitches are.
It's mangled. Yeah.
It's, and but yeah, he interceded. I mean, the kid's just amazing.
In a follow-up post, Nikki shared that the attack happened on July 9th, writing, "After getting bit several times on the face and head, he grabbed his sister's hand and ran with her to keep her safe."
Oh, my God.
According to the post, Bridger recently returned home from the hospital. Then she went out on a limb, writing, "I know it's a long shot, but I'm reaching out to the Avengers and other heroes so that they can learn about this latest addition to their ranks." And she tagged several stars, and in return, she got more than she probably bargained for. In fact, we have an audio clip of Chris Evans. Yeah. All right, do we have it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I just was on Stuart Copeland calling you an a-hole.
Okay.
And that would be inappropriate.
Too.
Yeah.
Hang on.
And the Instagram video is of him dressed as Captain America, not Chris Evans, but this young man, Bridger, watching the video.
All right, here we go. This is
a message from Chris Evans.
Okay, here we go.
"Hey, Bridger. Captain America here. How you doing, buddy? Now, I'm sure you've heard a lot of this over the last couple days, but let me be the next one to tell you, pal, you're a hero. What you did was so brave, so selfless. Your sister is so lucky to have you as a big brother. I'm going to track down your address, and I'm going to send you an authentic Captain America shield because, pal, you deserve it."
Wow. Oh, my God. It's so cute watching
awesome.
Him.
Wow. That is awesome. And what's this other one, Case?
I don't know.
It's him saying because he knows he's got some surgeries ahead,
okay,
but he's basically encouraging him.
"Keep being the man you are. We need people like you. Hang in there. I know recovery might be tough, but based on what I've seen, I don't think there's much that can slow you down."
Uh-huh.
"Bye, buddy."
That's awesome.
Oh, my God.
And Mark Ruffalo wrote to him, and he wrote and said, "Dear Bridger, I just read about what happened to you, and I want to reach out to you and say this. People who put the well-beings of others in front of themselves are the most heroic and thoughtful people I know. I truly respect and admire your courage and your heart. Real courage isn't dominating people or fighting against people or walking around like a tough guy. Real courage is knowing what is right to do and doing it, even when it might end up hurting you somehow. You are more of a man than many, many I have seen or known. With admiration, Mark Ruffalo, Bruce Banner, Hulk Professor."
Awesome. That's awesome.
That's great. Oh, and he also got a message from Mike, the Situation Sorrentino.
Oh, good. Yeah. What did he say?
He's a hero in all hours.
Oh, said, leave me alone.
He said, "You can measure height, but you can't measure hero."
So the Situation was one of the Avengers.
He's a member of the Avengers. He's on the backup crew.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Yeah.
When are they going to send me out? It's coming. It's coming, buddy. You know, those also serve who wait in behind the scenes.
Right, right.
Maybe
right.
In Wakanda, like when the bubble came down and those aliens are coming through.
He's the one who polishes those. Dude, they're all scuffed up, and we need to see through them. We're going to be in trouble if we can't see. Come on.
Yep. Need your help, buddy.
Really? Yeah, you're essential. All right.
Nick pointed this out to me. John Hamm is going to star in a reboot of Fletch. Aww. Now, before you groan,
okay.
It's not going to be the original. They're not going to do the original movie all over again. It's a completely different story.
They're going to be, I think, more. They're going to hear more to the source material, right?
So, there was another book that was written. So, the 49-year-old actor is attached to produce and feature as the investigative reporter, Fletch, and he was portrayed, of course, by Chevy Chase in the 1985 classic movie. The project is being directed by Superbad filmmaker Greg Mottola, and the plot is based on the second novel in Gregory MacDonald's book series, Confess Fletch.
Okay.
So it's one of the books. All right.
There were supposed to be five or six movies. with Chevy Chase. And
right.
It's pretty interesting to see how and why it fell apart.
Which it very well could have because he's an investigative reporter. He can take on a new, you know, tackle a new thing.
Well, sure. Fletch Lives kind of sucked, right?
It wasn't bad.
It had moments.
I got to go back and watch it because I don't, remember much about it.
It didn't live up to the first. It had moments, but it wasn't great.
I actually don't even remember the plot of Fletch Lives. I just remember some of the characters, like Harley Davidson.
He inherited a plantation, and it turned out there was some illegal dumping going on there, but there was a whole illegal thing going on, and he uncovered it. So this story will see Fletch caught in the middle of multiple murders, one of which pins him as the main suspect. And he seeks to prove his innocence, Fletch has to find his fiancée's stolen art collection acquired after her father goes missing and is presumed dead. So that's what the book is about. So it could be good. And John Hamm can pull off comedy.
He can.
Yeah.
I'd like to see them, try to get a little bit more. I love the Chevy Chase movies, obviously, but maybe try a different tone with some comedy and a little bit more of the...
They could take a, almost like, you remember how 48 Hours with Eddie Murphy?
Yeah.
Had hilarious moments, but was a gritty,
tense
drama, police drama.
That would be
as well.
A perfect tone
so
to go
So maybe
for.
They could do something like that. Let's see. Got time for one more thing. Steve, I saved this for you and Kathy. Very Cavallari alums, Kristen Cavallari and Jay Cutler, continue to separate their assets after announcing their divorce in April, and the pair sold their Tennessee home for $3.7 million.
I love that place.
They had listed it 2 years ago for $7.9 million.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
It was tough getting rid of it. In fact, she had her hairdresser, and the hairdresser's... I guess husband now living in the house trying to sell it, and they just couldn't get rid of it.
I bring these up because I love hearing how much you know about it.
He knows everything.
I know everything about it. It just crushed me I know all the characters, and I just feel I'm left out on an island, and I'm without them. I miss them so terribly, Preston.
Are the kids featured on the show?
No, they kept the kids out of it.
Okay, because I was going to tell you to name those, but there's no way.
No, she actually doesn't put her kids in... rarely anything, like no posts on social media, nothing on the show. You don't ever see them on the show.
Yeah, they're young. They're 7, 6, and 4. That's Camden, Jackson, and Sailor, by the way.
And the husband I was mentioning, his name is Scoot.
Scoot?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We're ready for clips. Let's do it. Killer Camp is a British competition series where contestants staying in a lakeside lodge must figure out the identity of the killer before it's too late. And in this clip, contestant Holly discusses the cabin they all slept in.
We slept all together in that big dorm room. We all had our single beds surrounded by all these taxidermy animals and stuff. So it's really, really creepy. Really got us in the horror mood.
I don't think I want to see it.
Killer Camp airs tonight at 8 on the CW. I guess
I might watch that.
Yeah, it kind of looks like
Camp Crystal Lake, Friday the 13th.
Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
And they're playing off of that. That could be kind of fun. All right, next clip. 12 participants put their physical and miniature golf skills to the test in a series of over-the-top courses in Holy Moly. In this clip, co-host Rob Riggle discusses if he would be able to finish the course.
Not possible. I could go out on the course, and I could get knocked in the water repeatedly. It would actually make for a great comedy reel of me wiping out and getting launched. But, I have too much respect for my golden polyester ABC jacket that I would never, never subject that jacket to the torture of being knocked in the water that many times.
Holy Moly airs tonight, 8 o'clock. That is on ABC. All right, that's it, gang. Hope you got something out of it. The entertainment report for today. We have James Van Riemsdyk joining us on the program as Flyers hockey is getting underway. August 2nd, they're playing the Bruins, so we'll talk to JVR and see where his head is at. In the meantime, as we take a break, I'd like to give away a case of Sly Fox's Helles Golden Lager. Caller number 18, we're going to give you a case, 215-263-WMMR. This crowd-pleasing local favorite goes well with just about anything. Refined malt sweetness combined with gentle noble hops. Sly Fox Helles is perfectly balanced and easy drinking. Outdoor dining is now available at all Sly Fox locations. And you can also order your favorite bites and brews for pickup at SlyFoxBeer.com. Good luck to you. We'll be right back.
With the continuing lack of actual live concerts, we're taking matters into our own hands. MMR rocks. The Who, in concert, Saturday night at 7. It's MMR's Saturday Night Concert Series, an hour-long concert made up of the best live performances ever captured. We're all jonesing for live music, and this should help. So hit the backyard, get the tailgate started, and crank up MMR every Saturday night this summer at 7. It's MMR's Saturday Night Concert Series. This week, The Who. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
They recently switched the trash day for my trash pickup, and I've been trying to adjust to remember. It was always on Sunday, so we would put it out, or no, I'm sorry, Monday. So we put it out on Sunday night, trash come on Monday, pretty easy. And I got into that habit. Well, they recently switched it to Thursday pickup.
Are they picking it up regularly
now?
Yeah,
they're picking it up. Okay. But if, you know, like this morning, right as I was about to fade off the bed, I'm like, oh, I forgot to take the trash out.
Of course.
And I was already too invested in falling asleep where I'm not going to get up and go tell the boys go take out the trash. I'm like, just remember to do it tomorrow morning. Just remember to do it tomorrow morning. And I got up and I went out of the garage and it was already taken out.
Oh, look at that.
Glad because I probably wouldn't have remembered. As I walked out and I saw that it was, I'm like, thank God they took it out because I wouldn't have remembered this morning and we would have been stuck. And when you're a week on, I only get once a week pickup.
I get two.
I know you do.
Yeah. What the hell's that about?
That is so lucky because if you miss 1 week.
I just get one.
Oh. I get two and a recycling day. And thank God.
Wow.
Because, well, I don't have any cats anymore, but like, you know, when you
threw them out.
Well, you get one, and how many cats do you have?
Nine. Oh,
well, the reason I bring this up is it has to do with cats and trash.
Yeah.
Because Kathy had mentioned something the other day, which was very interesting, about somebody you know.
Yeah, I was with my cousins when we were off for a couple of days, and they just got three kittens. Well, they got them a few months ago. They're getting a little bit bigger now, but they have three cats. And so we ended up talking about litter boxes, how many litter boxes they have. And I said, you know, who scoops the litter? And she said, you know, my husband does. And he was like, I do it all the time. You know, he's like a clean freak, so he likes the cat's litter box to be clean. And he goes, yeah, he goes, and then I just take it to work and I throw it out. And I was like, you take all the cat litter to work with you to throw it out? And he goes, yeah. I'm like, why? He was like, well, why not? I don't want it to sit in like my hot garage in my trash can and like smell up the garage. He's like,
I'll just have a fester at the office.
At the office.
So what is he? Does he just drop it into like a waste paper basket in the office?
Or no, the dumpster.
The dumpster?
And so he doesn't take it. I don't think he takes it inside.
All right.
So
hey, I brought you something, Lou.
Yeah, so I think that he meant that he dropped it in their, I guess, whatever their dumpster or whatever is
outside.
But
he puts it in his car.
But that's what I said, Casey. That's what I said. I go, but you drive to work, three cats. Now, I know you have nine, so you can get an idea of what this. I have two, and like there's a lot of scooping that goes along with that. So add another one. I'm like, you sit that in your car on the way in. He's like, yeah, well, then it doesn't have to sit at my house. I just take it to work.
But listen, you put it in the trash can.
In the trash can.
Trash can's got a lid on it. It should be okay. You're going to be all right.
I don't know. Listen, I will say my garage does, like, when we're getting close to trash day, it starts to smell with that cat litter in it. So, I mean, I understand that a little bit, but it is the garage. And then I open up the garage door and I air out the garage.
Couple of things that you can do to mitigate that. I use the Arm & Hammer, the no smell, which is really good.
Too.
A. And then B, I have a separate sort of tub, like a storage tub, that I put the kitty litter in a separate bag and push the tub top down so that it's sort of airtight.
Okay. So do you, when you scoop your
litter. Now I'm doing it twice a day.
Yeah, I do
for
too.
13 boxes.
Wait, do you, when you scoop the litter, are you putting it, you're putting it in like a trash bag?
I put it in a separate kitty litter bag and then I put,
and then put
that in the garbage bag and then put that in the container.
Right, yeah. So that's what I do too.
I'm like just wondering who all takes their garbage
to work, right?
And throws it away there.
Throw stuff out.
I also have another question about whether it's illegal to throw your trash away in, let's say, a business's dumpster, or it is.
I'm pretty sure it is.
Okay. It says it'll say on dumpsters. You'll see it. You'll see it outside of businesses.
It is intended for the use of that business.
Oh, man. I wonder.
And when you do it, it is actually a violation of the law. You're stealing a service, basically.
When I was in New Hampshire a couple of summers ago, I guess maybe this happened enough where the business had had enough. And there was a sign. It was there was an F-bomb on it. You know, I will F you up if I catch you throwing. I think
that's your business and you go out and it's full when you have your trash to
throw
rid
out. It's full of kitty litter.
All right. What about, like, suppose somebody's having work done at their house and they have one of those giant dumpsters out in there and you just have, like, I don't know, something big that
you've paid to have it there.
Exactly.
You're stealing. Now,
they have it there for ask.
You have to pay by size, I think, Casey, and they may be intending on filling
it
up.
On using it,
Why? Have you done that before?
Never. I've never, ever. But I thought, listen. I have. Here's the deal.
I threw out a couch.
I have an old air conditioner that is broken, and it's just sitting in a room in my house, and there is a house that's not that far away. It was getting work done, and I had thought about it. I'm like, just chuck it in that dumpster. I haven't done it yet.
Well, don't you have, like, a trash day where they pick up big items?
I don't know.
We do.
Go ask. It's a courtesy. Ask before you do it. Chances are they'll let you do it.
You could just put it out of your curb.
Yeah, call them, and they might pick it up. And they might, there may be a specific day where they pick stuff up like that.
All right, so
you have 2 days.
I know.
Well, lucky this is bastard.
Privilege.
All right, so there was a dead raccoon in the back of my yard.
And you were done with it.
And I was done with it. I didn't want it anymore.
Kids got done playing with it.
I didn't want the kids to play with it, so I called, like, animal control or whatever.
Yeah.
And they told me to put it in a bag and throw it in a dumpster.
In your neighbor's yard.
No, they told me to bring it to a dumpster. And so I did. Like, I triple bagged this thing, and I drove with it with my hand out the window because I didn't want this dead carcass, like, in my car at all.
Right, yeah.
So I drove for, like, 3 miles with my hand out the window. I went to a local business, and I dumped the raccoon. Raccoon.
I have a dead raccoon in my house.
Yeah. Why didn't you just throw it in your own trash?
Because it wasn't close to trash day, and I didn't want it festering.
A festering dead raccoon in your garden.
You wanted to get rid of it right away.
Right.
Gotcha. I mean, technically, you're not supposed to do that.
Okay.
But
I didn't actually do that. I'm just saying that I did that.
No,
just
it's okay. Listen, I've done that before. I've taken stuff and had it in my car and seen a dumpster. I'm like, I've been wanting to get rid of this, so let me just toss it in here.
Right.
You're not supposed to do that, you know?
I mean, if you're not throwing out, like, a motorboat or something like that, you can do it if it's just a little like a McDonald's bag or something.
Would you ever put used kitty litter in your car, Steve? Used kitty litter?
No, probably not.
If it's bagged up, I mean, if I'm just taking it somewhere, can we throw it in the trunk? It's not going to do anything.
I just laughed. Like, it just seems so odd. By the way, he texted me. He said, better the dumpster than my trash can.
Yeah. God, all right.
That's a little weak, but.
Interesting philosophy. I mean, my grandfather, this is my mom's dad, was a successful businessman. He was a president in New York Life. He lived a long, successful career. He passed away in 2000. And he was a member of the Cedarbrook Country Club. So he is a member of the club, but it was too cheap to pay for the trash service. So he had this beat-up pickup truck, and he would load the back of his truck, drive it across the street in Bluebell to the country club, and either burn the trash that he wanted to burn or throw the other stuff in the country club's dumpsters.
With the rest of your family living such an extravagant lifestyle.
Yeah, digging up trees
trees in the park for Christmas trees.
Is this your dad?
No, it's my mom's father, my pop-up.
Oh, it's on the mom's side.
On the mom's side, yeah. And it just was
unbelievable.
I mean, this guy had a pool. He had this beautiful
home.
And
he's throwing out his garbage at the country club across the street.
There was something in his head where, like, he found paying for the waste removal to be a waste of money. So he would either burn it or drive it across the street to the goddamn country club.
Here's a text that says, my apartment complex backs up to a restaurant, and my cheap-ass neighbor throws his trash in the restaurant dumpster while the rest of us pay for trash pickup. Cheap-ass. He knows who he is, too.
Oh, my God. So he doesn't pay for the trash pickup and just tosses it in the restaurant?
I tell you what, having worked for a number of businesses, one of my first jobs was at Dunkin' Donuts, and they had a terrible issue with the people in the neighborhood around that Dunkin' Donuts coming over and using that dumpster as their own personal dumps, and they wanted to use it. Obviously, they were paying for it.
I'm going to go to Kim. Hi, Kim. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, Preston.
Hey, what's up, Kim?
It's your
Oh, it's our singer, Kim.
Yay!
Kim Sklar.
I feel like when she calls in, she should.
We work with Kim Sklar. Kimmy
Graff.
Yes. But I feel like when you call in, instead of saying it's me, like you should sing something so we
know. Yeah, so we know.
Oh, my God. 7:30 a.m. I don't know.
Yeah.
I did want to call in, though, because so we live in a South Philly row home, and or we did. We're in a twin now, so we've moved on up. So we do have a breezeway, but we were in a row home. And, you know, it's down here. They only pick up the trash once a week. And you can't put it in the yard because it'll get wet from the rain, and then dragging it through the house is absolutely disgusting. So if we had too much, we would hang it out the window, like Casey, and drive around the neighborhood looking for different dumpsters to throw it in. So, yeah.
Yeah, it becomes problematic. In fact, in the city right now, Marissa was just telling us that, you know, there's the garbage is piling up because the days where they've adjusted supposedly the pickup days.
It's a mess.
Not happening on those days, and it's become this nightmare.
Yeah, it's pretty gross.
But I would love to see you driving down the road with a bag, holding a bag out the window.
Sometimes it would be, like, dripping liquid. Mm-hmm. And Greg would be, like, screaming at me because it would be getting all over the car, inside the car.
Yeah.
It was the whole thing.
I think the notion of porting your stuff into work to throw it out to me is just a bridge too far, you know?
Yeah. Kim, are you preggers, by the way?
I am. I'm like 6 months pregnant.
Oh, congratulations. We're looking at a picture of you, and I'm like, you're skinny as a rail, but you got that baby bump popping out.
Oh, yeah. Yep. She's finally popping.
Nice.
We're excited. Yep. Right. So when she comes out, we'll have to get her a Harry Balzac onesie.
Absolutely. All right. We love you, Kim. Thanks for the call.
Thanks, guys. All right.
See you later. Bye-bye. Let me go to Nick. Hi, Nick. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, bud.
So you talk about bringing trash to work. I work in South Jersey, and my boss lives in Delaware, which is like an hour, 45-minute drive from his house to work. And down there, you have to pay for your trash removal, like, or you have to go dump it yourself. And he just puts it in the trunk of his car every day and drives it up to Jersey and throws it in the dumpster at work. And every time I watch him do it, I just cringe just thinking about that trunk of his car.
He's booking along like on a day where it's going to be 94, 95 degrees with a trunk full of garbage. Even though it's bagged up, it's going to stink a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes leak, probably.
Totally.
Almost every day. It's terrible.
Oh, wow. Man. Trash juice.
You ever ask him about it?
No, because he's my boss. And I don't want to,
yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. God. Why are you so cheap?
Thanks,
well,
Nick.
Well, if you go to the shore in the wintertime, you have to take your trash to the dumpster.
Yeah.
And it's gross. There, you know, it leaks and, you know, it can make the car smell. So doing it every single day, I can't imagine.
Casey, you're about to say trash juice.
Oh, it grosses me out.
It's
disgusting.
Horrible.
We have,
horrible.
At the school, my wife and I, and obviously other people, we plan and do these events like beach bag bingo and trivia night, and at the end of the night everybody leaves and we have to clean up. It's fresh trash juice and it still grosses me out.
I don't know what, like, the combination of ingredients is to make that, but I worked at McDonald's for 4 years, Casey, and there were two types of trash juice that were just awful. The regular dumpster trash juice was really, really bad.
The worst. Mm-hmm.
The grease trash juice, which had to be disposed of differently. There was a different grease container that you had to take out to the back. It was just disgusting. It was vomit-inducing.
When you find out that one of your trash receptacles in your garage is leaking or something,
oh my God.
It's the worst, and it's so repugnant and filthy. We had one, though, and you had the same situation, Preston, where you look at the bottom and you realize that what appears to be sand is actually maggots.
Yes. Usually happens once a year.
Yeah, in the summer.
Yeah.
Probably around August.
And sometimes it's if I miss 1 week of trash takeout, it's almost a guarantee.
Oh, the boys are here.
The boys are in. And, man, they crawl. And I don't know how they do it, but they can crawl up out of the trash can.
Yeah, yeah.
And end up wriggling around all over the floor of the garage, and it's disgusting.
Well, that's the reason why I took dead raccoon to the dumpster, because years before that, I tried to save a baby bunny, and it died, and then I just put it in my trash can, and, I mean, within, it wasn't even a day.
Yeah, it goes up on the maggot swapping shop. Yeah, Craigslist. Because they know. I don't know how they do it. And the way that they get to it, Preston, the line, the whole thing, it's that's how nature takes care of that stuff.
I'm going to go to Jason. Hi, Jason. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Hey, Gadzooks to you, sir. All right, so you had a run-in while you were taking some trash out.
Yeah, I did. So I was home from college one summer, and I was helping my dad with some yard work at his house, and I had a ton of grass clippings and other various things like that. And once a month in his neighborhood, they only take stuff like that. And it just wasn't that week. So I had to take it somewhere else. So I called my dad up while he was at work, and he told me I could bring it over to his office building and throw it in the dumpster there. He had gotten permission from our, from the building manager that this was okay. You know, so I was like, all right, cool. I'm going to bring it over. I drive it over. I'm throwing the stuff out in the dumpster. And one of the office workers is coming out for the day. Like, he's done for the day. He sees me doing this. He stops his car, pulls out his phone, and starts filming me doing it as if I was doing something, not exactly.
Right.
And, he has no idea what I'm doing. So I stop, and I'm just like, hey, can I help you with something? And he's just like, no, I'm just getting you on this so I can report you to the police and to my manager. And then he just drove right off. And I was just like, I kind of just shrugged my shoulders and was just like, okay, this is kind of weird. But I ended up throwing it out. I called my dad back right after I did it, told him the story. We both started laughing. And he was like, I know exactly who you're talking about. He was like, don't even worry about it. And, thankfully for me, nothing happened. Nothing came of it. But, it was just kind of like one of those experiences where I was like, I kind of felt like I was in the twilight zone because I was just like, I went through all the necessary things.
Yeah, but for the most part, had you not have gotten the clearance and did not have the go-ahead, the business would be well within their rights to say, hey, I'm going to call the cops on you. You're stealing our service.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that guy didn't know that, but, my dad's been working at the office for, 30-plus years. He knows the manager, so I was just like, I'm not going to be...
Yeah,
I'm not going to sweat about it.
Right. Yep.
Yeah, it was too funny.
Gotcha. All right, thanks, man. We appreciate it. I'll go to Vince R. on the line. Hey, Vince, good morning.
Hey, you guys got Zook.
Oh, you got Zook. Right. What's up, dude?
Say that right?
Yeah,
that's you got spot on.
All right. Well, I was walking my dog, taking my trash out, and I used to do this on a regular basis. I just, let the dog lead the way, and sometimes we would go through there's a shopping center nearby. And I'm about to dump my trash into the shopping center dumpster, and a cop pulls up to me and says, "You're about to commit a crime there." And I looked at him like, "Really?" So it is definitely against the law, and they definitely,
Yeah. Well, let me ask you. So you said you're walking along with your dog. Did you had your trash with you when you went walking along with your dog? All right.
Yeah,
so
part of my routine.
Okay.
Now, do you mean was it dog poop you were cleaning up, or
no? It was just my trash from the house.
Okay.
I seldom go out for a dog walk with my trash.
I don't sling my trash over my shoulder.
Some bizarre Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Why didn't you just leave it in your own home trash?
The dog leads the way.
The dog leads the way. You need to understand. It's just like Son of Sam. The dog tells me what to do. Let's get the trash.
I clean up after the dog. Who's in charge? Me or the dog?
Okay. I think you're misunderstanding. Kind of are you walking out with actual trash from your house, or is it just the dog poop bag that you're talking about?
Yeah, no, I live in an apartment. If I'm walking the dog, I say, well, while I'm walking the dog, I'll take out the trash and kill two birds with one stone.
Okay.
And if the dog goes one way, we use the apartment dump. If the dog walks the other way, then I'm just going through this,
Okay. Well, what I would do is I'd take, before you do that, I'd walk over to your apartment trash.
Yes.
Throw it out and then say, now you may lead the way, dog. Because
yes,
I am your owner.
I think, Vince, the dog will be okay with that.
See if you can override him. That's what I do. Yeah. Thanks, Vince. So on that notion, Preston, of walking your dog into a little poop bag, if I'm walking along and it's and the dog goes and I collect it up, I feel, this is my own thing, if it's we're right up on trash day and there are trash cans out there, I will put it down on someone's trash if it's exposed.
Right.
But if the trash has been collected up and the trash containers are empty,
I'll
can't carry it.
Yeah.
Because
I don't want your dog's poop.
You agree with me on that?
Well, because I'm right in the spot where everyone's dog goes to the bathroom. So, fortunately, the majority of the people pick it up. Sometimes they don't, which is really annoying.
Oh, that's infuriating.
Completely infuriating. But, most of them pick it up. And I have seen a few, usually same thing on trash day. I'll see it on the top. I'm like, okay, somebody walked their dog and threw it
in
there.
That's fine. This will probably really gross you out, Kath. But when I'm walking the dogs and they poop, I'll, take the bag, pick it up. wad up, and then I'll stick it in my pocket.
No!
Yeah. No, you so don't. It, like, squishes
are
around
you?
There?
Sure.
The hell is wrong with you?
Nothing's, it's, the all plastic right. is completely covering
what
it.
If it what if it gets a little pinhole in it?
Well, I haven't had that happen.
Then let me ask you this. Okay. Okay, Preston, have you done this? Where you're walking along, and the dog goes, and you can't find it. And yet
I haven't had that happen.
You're around and people are looking at you.
And you're
so
trying
you just sort of pick up grass. Because yeah. sure. it's like, I can't find it.
Yeah.
Preston.
What are you like, do? You look away for a second and the dog's back up. It's like, where'd you go?
Yeah.
Preston, I've never done this, but when you pick up the poop, do you ever, squeeze it?
No.
Okay.
Now that I haven't done.
No.
You haven't done that?
No.
Either? No, I don't
kinda
feel
want
the need to squish the poop.
I kind of want to.
You ever give yourself a dirty Sanchez?
The reason, oh my God.
Grody.
No, the reason I'll put it in my pocket is just I don't feel like carrying it around for, especially if it's early in the walk, in which it usually
you don't
is.
Do the twirl. Dance,
hitting the trees with it and stuff.
Yeah, nunchucks.
Hang on, I want to go to some other calls here, and I will go to the other Vince that was online. Hey, Vince, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, am I actually on now?
Yes, yeah. You are. What's
hey,
up,
hey,
buddy?
How's it going?
Good.
So I went to Tennant many, many years ago, William Tennant.
Yeah, that's where Matt Copper went.
I thought this was relevant to
sick.
That. So I had a big party. I lived right behind it, and I had a huge party when my parents were out of town. So I took all the beer can bags and threw it in the Tennant dumpster. And about 10 days later, I got a summons in the mail for illegal dumping.
No kidding.
And for a fine of like $500 or something crazy.
Whoa.
And oh,
so
my gosh.
So I fought it. Judge Kelly, you know, remember that name?
Yes, Judge. Yeah.
So I had to go to court, and the piece of and there was the janitor from Tennant with the piece of envelope.
Poop.
With cat food and poop stains poop. On it, okay.
Sorry about that.
Yeah.
And so I that was the piece of evidence produced.
He went through the trash?
He climbed into the dumpster, got an envelope with my name on it, and went to the police. And I actually had to go to court to fight it. And luckily, because I was in college at the time, the judge cut me a break, and I only had to pay the $50 court costs. But, yeah, that was so –
Vince, when was this? What year?
It was in the late 80s.
Oh, okay.
Listen, it could be infuriating, though, especially, like, if you do – like every thanks, year, Vince. Every other year, I get like I had J.P. Mascaro come by. They dropped off a you know, dumpster outside the house. This is great. Do the deal. I go out there and there's a couple of pieces of a broken chair and stuff and the thing. I'm like, it didn't eat up a lot of space, but like, you mother effer, I'm paying for this.
It's illegal. It's theft.
It's illegal. Yeah.
It's theft of service.
And so I try to be respectful of businesses that are doing the same thing.
Well, and people can be fined for it. You know? And so there are different legalities in PA, Philadelphia, and New Jersey, but you can definitely be prosecuted for it.
I think it's sometimes when people have something big that they don't know what to do with and try to get rid of it, like this story. I'm going to go to Mike. Hi, Mike. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Sorry to bother you at work.
Nah, you're doing no such thing. What's up, bud?
So, well, I work at a cabinet making shop, and we have a big 30-yard dumpster whatever we put all our waste in. This was years ago. I went out there and found a complete hot tub in our dumpster.
A hot tub?
That's like a multi-person operation.
The audacity of some bastards.
Well, we have found multiple things. I mean, we found a full bed, complete hot tub. Now, we have since put cameras in to keep an eye on the dumpster, which has paid off now twice. We actually found a whole bunch of bags of trash in there. And, of course, the person that dumped them in there forgot to put the address and name of the business off the paperwork that they threw out. So we're able to trace it back and prosecute a little bit. You know, they ended up paying a fine.
Yeah.
It is that. Thanks, I think of the people, though, in the city right now, though, as stuff is starting to pile up, especially in a city situation, as it's stinking in the summer heat and all that stuff, what's your recourse? You know,
because you're talking about, you know, there can be like piles that end up.
And the dumpsters are full.
And what do you do?
Yeah.
You just throw more on the pile, I guess.
There was a famous garbage strike, which was highlighted in the original Out of Towners in Manhattan.
I remember.
I mean, when you, Casey, 15, 16 feet high piles of garbage.
Yeah.
So much so that it became a risk for pedestrians who are walking out from
right.
piles of garbage and getting hit by cars because people couldn't see them.
Do you recall whether or not there was a garbage strike in New York in maybe the late 90s or so? Because I recall being in New York City around that time, and there were
mounds and mounds of trash.
That was just New York in the summer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, and that's part of the reason why, you know, like the mob got involved in waste removal is because nobody wants to do it.
Yeah.
And these and if nobody's doing it, people have a real problem with it. And so
garbage
yeah.
begets vermin.
Yeah.
And all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And on top of all of it right now, garbage workers are doing it during a pandemic, you know?
Yes.
So like it's critical. It's really important. They're essential workers.
Yep. Let me see here. I'm going to go to Kevin. Hey, Kevin, how you doing, bud?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
So for about 2 to 3 years, we just moved in a new house, and I would just pile up all of the garbage in the garage, and then like maybe once a week, twice a month, I would just go over to the apartment complex that's up the street, and I would just throw it all in the dumpster at like 3 in the morning.
Dude,
3 in the morning.
No, as Bill Weston would say, no remorse.
What's that?
No remorse. That was your out. You just go throw it out there. Did you ever think about, you know, the other people paying for it? Did it have any issue for you?
It's a big apartment complex. They won't even notice it.
And by the way, Kevin, so is it just so you could avoid paying for your trash service?
Yeah, trash is expensive. We just bought a house.
Just bought a house, Preston. Money doesn't grow on trees.
3 o'clock in the morning, this dude's dressed in all black.
Yeah.
Throwing his trash out.
Yeah,
and
man.
Why did you quit doing it, Kevin?
Well, actually, like about last week or 2 weeks ago, I had some debris from a yard I was doing, from like trash. So I had on my trailer. I go to the apartments. I come around the corner and I see a bunch of strobe lights and cop lights. I'm like, uh-oh. So I got out of there.
There was a big bust. A big bust for the garbage throwing out.
Trash bust.
That's funny.
What's in your garage, Preston? So I have three recycle canisters, bins on wheels, and then I have two of for the regular garbage. And my line of thinking is, you can't have enough.
Yeah.
You can't have enough.
I right now just have one large regular garbage bin and one recycling. I used to have two large regular trash bins, but we switched companies, and we've somehow or another managed to curtail our trash output.
And you have, it's like pretty big though, that trash can, right?
Yeah, it's really
like
big.
When they come by, they have the truck actually pick it up, right?
Yes.
We don't have that, but we have the, I have some big mofo bins, and I'd rather have, because if you can do that and the lid closes down.
Yeah, you know what?
I know this is a, I'm trying to think of 16-year-old Steve going, man, look at that garbage.
Look at that.
Yeah.
It's crazy,
but
right?
I am now. Yeah. It's like, I bet you no smell gets out of that
And
one.
Now with like single stream recycling, I think we have more recycling than we do trash.
What is single stream recycling?
It just means, you know, you could throw it all in one bin, like cardboard, glass,
bullets.
Plastic, bullets, aluminum.
We have two garbage days as well, Casey, but one of our garbage days is also the recycling day.
Yeah,
so there's one day that's just for garbage, and then there's one day for garbage and for recycling.
We got to wrap in a second here, but Mark's been on hold for 20 minutes to tell you something, Casey. Hi, Mark. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
Good. What's up, bud?
I was talking about air conditioners.
Yes. Okay.
That's illegal to put in the dumpsters because of the Freon.
Yes.
And tires, too. Dumpster companies do not take them.
Okay.
What if you gift wrap them?
Yeah. Maybe they appreciate that. Put a bow on it.
I used to work big construction. I used to put them in a big contractor bag and hide them in the bottom of the dumpster.
Yeah. As far as any mechanical equipment, you've got to drain fluids and things like that. So I try to see if there's a way to, you know, hand it off to a shop or something like that. Like I recently, you know, an old water pressure. Pressure washer.
There's a Freon like recycling company. You have to pay like $30 to $40 for air conditioner.
Well,
what you described is what a lot of the contractors tell me they do. They get the big contractor bags and mm-hmm. they put it in that, and they squirrel it away amongst some other garbage, and that's what happens. So yeah. though that's illegal, a lot of people do that.
There's a lot of things you're technically not supposed to throw in the trash, like batteries and
what's with the pizza boxes?
Aerosol cans. Pizza boxes you can't recycle.
Can't recycle
if it has grease on it.
Because it has the grease on it.
Once it's had a pizza in it, they can't use it. That's the word.
You actually can't throw away old copies of the movie grease.
There's a company in South Jersey, Pancake and Pierre were talking about this not long ago. They recycle the pizza boxes. They're huge fans of MMR and the Preston and Steve show, and they use them in farming. So there's some biodegradable content.
On pizza farms.
Yeah, not on pizza farms, although that's an idea.
Cool.
Yeah. Let's see where we can go with that. Because I would love to go pizza trees.
Yeah.
You know?
I want to go pizza picking.
Go pizza picking.
Ooh, the pepperonis are in season.
If pizza boxes have the grease on the bottom but no grease on the top,
could you rip
the top off? Because I want to recycle as much as I possibly can.
Sometimes grease gets on the top, too.
I mean, well, no, but if you see that there's no grease.
If you see that it's clean,
yeah.
It's a good question. I'm not really sure.
I specifically rinse out the cat food containers because they say if there's food on it or it's dirty, they can't.
Okay. Claire does that. That's been the source of a number of fights where I'm like, it's pretty clean, hon. And it has to be sparkling before it goes into the receptacle.
I rinse out glass jars and stuff like that before I throw them away.
Yet so. I will openly take a full bore dump into our garbage. No problem.
Okay. Kathy's friend takes cat litter to work.
Yep.
That's where we got started here, is takes the scooped litter and throws it away at work. So apparently people do some similar things. We're going to take a break, and we're going to go into the world of the bizarre file when we return. Make sure you stay with us, because that's coming up next.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks. Proudly supports the American Cancer Society Bike-a-thon.
Hey, it's Marcus. Cancer won't stop, and neither will we. Join myself and Team WMMR on Sunday, August 9th for the 48th annual ACS Bike-a-thon. This year, we're going virtual. The pedal power to finish the ride against cancer may look different, but the mission remains the same. Each Team WMMR rider gets a free team t-shirt, registration, and complete details at WMMR.com. And check out our custom Team WMMR apparel providers, Bole and Go Cycling. Team WMMR and the ACS Bike-a-thon, virtually unstoppable.
The ACS Bike-a-thon, another way 93.3 WMMR is putting Philly first.
All right, let's dive into the stories.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you by Robbins Diamonds in tax-free Delaware, with thousands of rings and self-serve cases and absolutely no sales tax versus the 8% tax in Philly. It's Robbins Delaware Diamonds. A woman in Japan got more than she bargained for after she visited the doctor. She had an irritated throat. She was told that there was a worm living inside her tonsil.
What?
The 25-year-old woman underwent a physical examination at Tokyo's St. Luke's International Hospital after being left with throat pain and irritation 5 days after eating assorted sashimi. Medics identified a black worm, which was about 1.5 inches long and still moving inside the woman's left tonsil.
Dear God.
And they removed the creature using tweezers.
This is the most disgusting thing I've ever seen.
DNA testing on the worm identified it as a fourth stage larva of a Pseudoterranova azaris.
Of course.
Parasitic round worm. The parasite infects the stomach after a host has consumed larvae in raw or undercooked marine fish.
There you go.
With more than 700 cases reported in Japan, North Pacific countries, South America, and the Netherlands.
That's why I cooked the hell out of my sushi.
The woman's blood test results were normal, and her symptoms rapidly improved after the worm was removed.
This is disgusting.
Medics and scientists have documented similar infections in patients who consumed seafood dishes. The Maricopa County Sheriff's Office says two brothers have died. This is a horrible story, but mysterious. After a drowning call at Lake Pleasant Sunday night, possibly caused by an electric current in the water. Crews were dispatched to the lake to investigate reports of a drowning. When deputies arrived, they found a total of 5 patients on scene and 1 person who was missing in the lake. Fire crews discovered that there was a possible electric current in the water. They had secured the dock before entering the lake. Once the dock was secured, officials began searching for 53-year-old Timothy Miller, who had gone missing after going into the lake. Miller had gotten into the water and began experiencing symptoms from the apparent electrical current. Miller's brother, 50-year-old Michael Miller, jumped in the water along with Timothy's girlfriend to help, but they also experienced the electrical current.
Where was the current coming from?
Well, I don't know. That's the mysterious part of it. Bystanders were able to help get Michael and the other person out of the water, but Timothy could not be found. According to Tanya Gitan, a sister of Timothy's girlfriend, said she was screaming for help and she stuck her toe in the water. She has burn marks on her feet and legs, and thank God that's it, but she's devastated for losing both of them. Michael was transported. They got him out of the water. They transported him, but he died of his injuries later on.
That's effed up.
So it's unclear what caused the electrical current. Yeah, that's horrible. This is pretty interesting. Johnny Perry has been a jeweler his whole life and learned the business from his dad. He decided to wipe the shelves clean at his shop, which is J&M Jewelers. He told his wife, hey, listen, we can take everything out and retire, or we can bury it across the state of Michigan. So he and his wife, Amy, picked option two, burying $1 million worth of treasure in dozens of spots from Metro Detroit north through the Upper Peninsula. He said, we went through waterfalls, streams, we kayaked everywhere. He said, as soon as I release the clues, the race is on, he said. Now, he said, diamonds, gold, and rare coins. This is the part of the story that goes, what are they thinking here? He said, I was going nuts at home with nothing to do, pacing back and forth. The pinch of the pandemic was too tough on his business. After 23 years, he is closing with a new way to make money. They are going to sell tickets to each treasure quest. Ticket holders will get a set of clues on a specific date. He said, you follow the riddle, you get a little wit, you get a little adventure in you, and you'll find it quick. I don't expect it to go more than a week.
So what are they charging these for these clues?
I don't know.
This is all...
I don't know.
It's a little weird.
I don't even know if it's legal, to be honest. I hope they looked into it.
And B, Metro Detroit?
There's a limited... Well, it's all over the state, all up right. Into the Upper Peninsula all as right. well, they said. So there is a limited amount of tickets for each treasure quest. Each prize is worth about $4,000. He said, we have a GPS in there, so we know if it's been moved. The first hunt launches August 1st. He said, this one is about approximately $4,200 with the price of silver at $20 an ounce. It took about 4 months to complete, choosing spots special to his life and his new life as a married man. He said, a lot of perseverance is what bonded us from selling jewelry to selling adventures. So it's interesting.
$49 for a ticket.
Okay. All right. Is that it?
I'd be game.
Yeah, so
I would totally be down.
Is with that it. Legal?
I don't know, because I remember a story.
Is it like
here
a lottery?
Locally, of a kid of a couple who bought a home, were trying to sell a home, and they did it via lottery.
Yeah,
and immediately the state
they shut
in
down.
And said, no, you can't do that. That's 100%.
But if it was
illegal.
A treasure hunt,
they'll find out pretty fast whether or not it's legal. You know,
yes, it's the selling ticket parts. I'm not sure about.
Yeah.
So we'll see about that. These are executives I'm talking about in this next story. The head of the Association of Independent Mortgage Experts sent a mortgage company executive expletive-filled video messages falsely alleging that the man's wife performed sexual acts on United Wholesale Mortgage president and CEO Matt Ishba while in college. So this guy, who is, like I said, the Association of Independent Mortgage Experts CEO, his name is Anthony Casa, had a video that he directed at the Quicken Loans executive vice president, a guy named Austin Nimick. And he said in it, hey, Austin, great to see you're having a great time. Love to meet your wife. It's amazing that's the girl who sucked Ishba's D in college. Way to marry up.
My.
And then he sent it out to other people as well.
Oh, no.
He's a savvy businessman.
In response, Teresa Niemick, the guy's wife, who's he's saying this stuff about, filed a lawsuit against him, alleging that he published and distributed derogatory, misogynistic, and per se defamatory material about her. The lawsuit notes that Casa's allegations are
what did
false
I do?
And untrue as well.
What? So,
she said she demanded a retraction from Casa through her attorney, to which Casa allegedly mockingly responded via text to her husband that he would, quote, see him soon, asking his wife, asking how his wife was, and multiple emojis representing sexual organs.
Oh, my God. What the hell?
You know, and
what?
What? And so he sent a second video that says, "Classy, my friend.
Oh, my
I'm ready
God.
To F you up. Guess what? I got one more surprise for you. One big one. It's a really big one. And it's not Bob Walters D in your mouth.
Oh, wow.
It's me effing you up in the fourth quarter. And I'm coming, mother effer."
Oh, my God.
That he was talking about.
So had they been business rivals prior to this?
So,
Or does this just come out of the blue?
So, here you go. So, the lawsuit is seeing a full retraction via video to each of the recipients of the earlier videos, because there were more videos that were shared about this. So, Casa published an 8-minute video on Facebook.
What'd you do during the quarantine?
Sunday, saying he, quote, made a big mistake and an error in judgment. He says he is a passionate person who at times finds myself being too vested in my support of mortgage brokers.
Casa said, he's too passionate.
Here's his response. He said, Casa said he was responding to a message from the guy, Mr. Yeah. Nemec, that included a picture with his wife as they were celebrating a record month at Quicken, and they, quote, were trying to egg me on.
So he figured well, that the good old ribbing.
Yeah.
He bust some chops by suggesting his wife is a is a tramp.
Is walking around sucking everybody's.
Yeah.
And he had video of it, which he sent to them and other people. So
yeah. That one got away from him.
Wow. All right. These are executives.
Those are executives. Mm-hmm.
And that is what I have for you in the Bizarre File. We're going to have James Van Riemsdyk on the program a little less than an hour from now, around 9 o'clock. The Flyers are getting ready to play hockey, man. The whole NHL thing is happening, and August 2nd, they play the Bruins, so we'll ask JVR how he's feeling about all that and more. We'll take a break and come back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Like the Preston and Steve Show podcast? Check out MMR's other audio on demand at WMMR.com or on the MMR mobile app.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We have a new Daily Rush video that's up and running. Yes, and you can check it out at PrestonandSteve.com. The title of it is, "You Ate Sand?" the description says, "Parents are feeding kids edible sand." Watch it now, PrestonandSteve.com, and it is sponsored by friends at Punchline, Philly, Fishtown's first comedy club, restaurant, and bar. So if you want to peruse the videos, you can see them there. And check out a bunch of them, if you will, if you've never had a chance to go through there. I know we just got done talking about throwing your personal trash away in other people's trash receptacles or workplace, you know, businesses and so on. Little unethical. But to piggyback on that, there was a list that I saw the other day, and we get a gazillion lists sent to us, and a lot of them are garbage, but from time to time you get some good ones. This is from E-Bombs World.
Yes.
And the title
haven't heard that name in a while.
The title is 15 Unethical Life Hacks That You Would Never Think Of. Unethical. Okay.
I like where this is going.
All right. These might help you out. It says, of a tight spot, but probably not. We take zero responsibility for the outcome of using any of these unethical life hacks. And I'll start with kind of an easy one here. And it has to do with Craigslist. It says, when you're buying something on Craigslist, send a bunch of insultingly low offers from burner emails that you set up, and then send a, quote, reasonable offer from your real address. They'll usually accept it.
Wow. Really?
So you bombard them
with ridiculously low bids
so
that your bid seems like it's, okay, we will go with this.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. Interesting, right?
Yeah.
But the work invested in doing a whole bunch of burner email accounts.
That's annoying.
Well, how many is enough?
I assume you'd have to like six or seven, right?
Yeah. But if you're doing this regularly, you might have them already set up and, you know.
Just roll with it. No, you diabolical prick.
Yeah, and if you're trying to sell six or seven, that's a lot. I'd say like three you'd be good with.
All right, so hang on. There's emails are there? You have a Hotmail, a Yahoo, a Gmail.
AOL.
What else is there? What else
what,
is
free
there?
Accounts?
You don't have to have different accounts.
Google.
You could just well, do I them just all mean on as, Google.
Yeah, you could just do different accounts. You don't have to have different providers.
But that would be, I think that would be more of a pain in the ass than anything. You could just bring up five different windows and go to five different websites rather than having to log.
Well,
you
got to each account. You be unethical the way you want to be unethical.
Yeah. All right, now this one I like. I think this is quite clever. So if you ever have a flat tire, take a picture of it. With a little bit of your car in there, too, okay? And the next time that you want to bail on an event, you save that picture.
Oh, man.
Next time you want to bail on an event or skip out of work, you send the picture to the person that you're bailing on, and you enjoy your free time.
Oh, that's great.
And then the response comes back, I thought you sold that car.
Yeah, right?
But it's not a bad idea. So the next time you have a flat, before you change it, take a photo of it, save it in your favorites.
All right.
And then you can use that's it really as funny. An excuse later on. I like that.
So just a little bit of the car with the flat tire.
Yep. Here's a, I have an
this
example.
Is what I'm dealing with.
Photo for you. And that's enough for it. It's just got the color of your car. And you can use that later
that's
on.
That's actually good.
Really good.
Here's one. I had to kind of explain this to Casey, but I thought this was one of the more ingenious ones and diabolical as well.
May I mean, you just before you jump into this, person, go to the hospital.
Yeah.
Go to any ICU bed. Take a picture of the person in it. My aunt is sick.
Right.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's like the flat tire.
That's perfect this. Yeah, exactly.
This is what's going on for me.
But this one you have to actually be a criminal for.
Like a big-time criminal.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
If you have to bury a body.
Oh, God.
Yeah. But listen to how ingenious.
If you're in the mob, listen up.
Listen to how ingenious this actually is. So, and let's say you're doing it like on your property or something. Dig twice as deep as you need to, and then you bury the body halfway up, then you kill a dog and you bury that and put that on.
Well, Kathy, I mean, you've already heard someone.
If the authorities go digging,
kill a dog.
If the authorities go digging, they find the dog and they stop right there.
Do they?
I don't know, but it's a great idea.
So here's the deal. It's wrong. Listen, I'm totally down with killing the humans, but it's wrong to kill dogs. No, actually, though, I wonder if someone were conducting
an investigation.
If
they would stop and go, oh, well, that's why
that's what's this going plot on is here. Right.
I don't know. But it's worth a try.
Well, if you were to bury a body, if you were getting rid of a body, would you bury it horizontally or vertically? And I'm owing to the methodology of Battleship. It's easier when you play the game Battleship.
That if they were digging down, they might not hit the body.
Right.
If it was standing up.
Yeah. You know,
I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm not sure. But anyhow, so that's for all you murderers.
Wow, man. That is cold.
All right, so here's a more practical one. Don't call into work sick.
Yeah. Sick. I can't come to work today because I'm sick.
Call in saying that you're having, quote, family problems. And that's the end of the discussion right there.
Yeah, that's true.
They don't ask.
If
you're
ask
sick,
that.
Then, oh, what's wrong? You okay? Yeah. You know. And then you have to make up the lie about diarrhea or your throat or whatever it is.
To me,
sounding sick.
The great deflection is always diarrhea or anything that is fecal or vomit related
because you
don't necessarily sound sick.
Yeah.
You just have that going on. I think with the family thing, do you then spark gossip at work?
I don't know.
Yeah. I'm having a family issue.
Yeah, a family issue, I think, is enough. Because it could be...
What is it?
It could be a death. Yeah.
Seriously, that's not going to go...
Are you having a period?
are
you in a loveless marriage?
Right.
are you pregnant out of wedlock?
I think that our situation is different. Like, we're so close here. Do you know what I mean? So if you said, I'm having family issues, there'd be silence on the other end until you told...
Yes.
Until you said what the family
are you having
was.
An affair?
We dive specifically into gritty details about our own lives.
Yeah, this would work if you know in a different situation. If you work for a bigger company,
you probably have a venereal disease, correct?
There would be subtext going on, hey, dude, what do you think's going on with Kathy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Is that a Jewish thing?
Yeah.
Speaking of unethical excuses, do you think, or how often do you think people are using COVID and the pandemic to get out of situations?
Occasionally.
Because that's low, but I could see people doing it at this point.
Yeah.
So, when you're working from home.
Right.
How do you call out of work from home?
Well, that's a really good question. People have had to do it, like,
yeah.
that they are not able to get
log
as much
in.
Work done.
Yeah, yeah,
or whatever. But, like, but kids at home this fall, you know, if they're at school, taking school from home this fall, if they're sick, do they still go
take
to school?
A sick day.
Do they take a sick day? Yeah. You know,
they go to school.
Yeah. I mean, you're already home sick.
I got to do your homework.
I got to go into school today. I'm feeling sick.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. I don't know, but family problems are a good way to do it.
Wow. Okay. Interesting.
How about this one? Make sure a street hooker is not a cop.
Okay.
And this is how you do it. By asking, if you're just tuning in, these are unethical life hacks, okay?
Yes.
So make sure that a street hooker is not a cop by asking if you can take some nude photos of them, because paying for nude photos isn't illegal.
Oh, wow.
An undercover cop will say no, but a prostitute will probably do it for the cash.
But what if they're a more virtuous hooker who's a little shy?
Right. Yeah. Right. You may have to consider that.
I don't know if I'm into that.
Yeah.
So but when going to get your street hooker, just keep this in mind.
Offer up to pay, you know, $50 for some naked pictures. And if they say yes, then they're probably not a police.
Watch officer. This, Grandma. I learned this from Preston and Steve. Can I take some nude pictures of you?
Watch this, Grandma.
How about this? If you're looking to buy a car, search the obituaries for phone numbers and call inquiring about a vehicle, because most likely they'll be wanting to liquidate assets and will give you a great price.
So how do you broach that topic? When a fresh funeral announcement has come up in the newspaper, you'd have to have some balls on you to call up and say,
yeah, how long?
Yeah, what were they driving?
Is long enough.
Yeah.
Well, what about their house?
Well, that's when Harry Met Sally. Like, you look at the obituary. They should go buy in the obituaries in the real estate section.
Yeah, right, yeah, yeah.
Yep, exactly. Let's see. Here's another one. This is great.
Yeah.
This is excellent.
All right.
Okay, next time you're going to the movie theater, spill some of your drink on the seat in front of you.
Dude. Oh,
and
my
it prevents
God.
Anyone from sitting there. Have you said that before?
I've said it for years on this very show. I used to do that all the time.
Did
it
you
was
really?
Unethical. Yeah. I felt terrible
Excellent.
About it. I stopped doing it because it was wrong. But it used to drive me crazy. So, yes, I'd get a little bit of a Coke and pour it on the seat in front of me, and it blocked the seat. I felt horrible. And I stopped doing it. But at least I didn't bury bodies with a dead dog on top.
At least you didn't do that.
And now you really don't even have to worry about it. Now these theaters are so retrofitted
the
with these giant seats.
And they're better.
And they're like they're
I blame the theaters.
And, yeah.
I don't take responsibility. I blame the theater.
Even, you don't have to worry about like the height of someone in front of you anymore. But if you just don't want someone in front of you.
Yeah. Preston, it was the RKO Twin in Comac, Long Island, and there was no grade to the seats.
Right.
It was almost like everything was flat, and it was the worst theater in the world, but yet they would get the best movies.
Yeah.
And so I was like, you got it. So that's where I did my Coke pouring, I admit it.
When I went and saw Rambo Last Blood
there,
it was assigned seats, you know, and I am very, very picky I like to actually sit on the aisle. That's where I like to sit.
Me too.
Okay.
I do too.
I
so
ordered my
your
seat.
Legs out a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah, me too. My knees give me trouble.
I got a touch of the rheumatism.
Also, on the off chance that I actually have to use the bathroom, I don't want to be walking in front of people.
Okay.
Dude, I got to go to the bathroom. I got a spastic colon.
Guy was sitting in my seat. You have assigned seats. Dude was sitting in my seat, and I didn't feel like fighting the fight because the theater was, and that was the part that pissed me off the most. The theater was almost empty, and the dude sat in my seat.
Oh, I would have said something. Maybe he just made a mistake.
I just went.
Dude looks like a lady.
Well,
yeah.
By the way, here's a text that came in about family problems, using that as an excuse.
Yeah.
This says, funny enough, I'm an HR manager, and one of my employees called out with that excuse this very morning.
Probably have family issues.
Yeah, they just buried a body in the background. They were looking for a dead dog.
I told you guys this before, but a friend of mine, she used her grandfather died as an excuse to get... she actually flew to China and hated every second of it. She was there for like 24 hours and was like, I got to get out of here and go home. And she said, my grandfather died. They flew her all the way home. Like years later, when her grandfather died and the obituary was posted, her boss said, didn't your grandfather die when you were in China?
Oh,
she was there for work and they flew her.
No kidding.
Yeah,
the other one.
The other one.
The other grandfather. No, she said she...
We each get two.
She fessed up and told them.
And how did they react to that?
I think she still works for them, so I guess it was fine. But yeah,
I have diarrhea.
I think because it also because
I
it was
come home now.
It was so extreme. Like she was in China, and I was like,
wow, Kathy, that's a ballsy. I have to fly back to home. I have diarrhea
after being there for like it took her 24 hours to get there. She was there for 24 hours and then left.
Wow, you must have. Where was she? How could it be that horrible? You wouldn't even give it a second day?
She was nervous to go. Like, she didn't want to go anyway. And, she just ended up having to come home.
Here's a text that says, Preston, this is not a life hack list. It's the Delco resident handbook.
Wait a second.
Wait a second.
That's not funny. Because it's accurate.
All right, here's a good one. Now, this is the balls to do this. If you have lots of noisy children playing on your street, these are unethical life hacks, mind you.
You probably shouldn't do it, but you can do it.
Put up posters around your neighborhood warning parents that there's a known predator living in your area.
Oh, that's terrible. Dude.
The parents will lock their children inside and you can enjoy some peace and quiet.
Oh, my God.
That's terrible. No.
I mean, that's, it would work.
Well, listen, we have a pandemic to take care of that right now. So, but yeah.
I don't know, man. That we got more kids running around my neighborhood than ever before.
Okay.
Yes. Let's go next to this one. It says, in a major city where daily parking costs are super high, and we would know what that's all about.
Oh, yeah.
Find an auto shop with an inexpensive tire rotation offer. Take up said offer, but say you have some errands to run, and you can come back and pick it up later that day.
All right, how much does a tire rotation cost these days?
It shouldn't cost. They're fairly cheap.
I'm not sure. And to park, you can easily dump $30.
Oh yeah. Oh,
right now at Meineke, you can receive 30% off oil change packages, and that comes with a free tire rotation.
How much?
So get an oil change.
Get an oil change at your locally owned and operated Meineke,
and a free tire rotation with that. But I don't know how much tire rotation just in general would cost you.
Just get a new transmission every time you want to park.
What else we have here? These are unethical life hacks. This one says, buy a baby on board sign, regardless of your parenthood status for your car. And if you happen to be in a nasty crash, paramedics and firemen will save you first.
Oh, my God.
I don't know about that one. Yeah.
Yeah. And
hey, over to this car.
Let's see.
We're looking for the baby.
How about this one? Buy an item at an electronics store. Open it, return said item, check back in a day and see if it's on the open box table, and buy it again, this time for 30% off.
Oh, my God.
Pretty brilliant.
Yeah.
That's a lot of work, though, man.
A lot of places, though, will charge a... So you have to say it's... What's the seller?
You return it, and then you come back like the next day to see if they've put it out on a.
How many places charge restocking fees now?
I don't know. Not many.
Not many.
If you have like big items, and if you get them shipped, sometimes you have to pay the restocking fees.
You guys ever bought floor models on stuff?
Yeah. I used to do it all the time.
Yeah.
My first big screen. I mean, at that time it was 32 inches, Preston. It was a 32 inch Toshiba, but it was it was a floor model that had a nick. In the on the outside of it, it was just a scratch.
Yeah,
it was running perfectly fine, and I got it for like half price. My first CD player, the remote was missing. I didn't need the remote; it was fine.
Yeah,
yeah.
My Weber grill at home is a floor model. I bought it at a hardware store, and it was
a hardware store.
Well, the other part, and I don't know normally, like if you have to put grills together or not.
Sometimes, and it's a pain in the ass.
Yeah,
or it can be a pain in the ass.
It was already put together.
Yeah,
I
do it all the time.
See, so I guess from time to time, and I've never seen this before. There's like a fake. Bill, like a fake dollar bill, $20 bill, $10 bill, whatever it may be. There's a picture of it. Half of it looks like currency. The other half says, don't be fooled. There is something you can have more valuable than money. And God. It's religious.
Yeah. Singer used to do stuff like that. Well, not the religious part, but he had like fake. They were like hundreds, weren't they?
I don't remember, but I don't doubt it.
Yeah. This one isn't really much of a life hack. It says, next time someone gives you or you find one of those fake dollar bills with a Bible verse on it, put it in the collection plate at church.
That's just scuzzy.
I wouldn't really call that a hack.
It's just being a dick.
How about this one? Try to tell a few lies, but do it really poorly. Confess to being a terrible liar. Do this periodically for things that don't matter, and then actual lies will go undetected later on.
Oh, my God.
That's pretty good.
That is a an unethical life hack.
So you're doing a lot of legwork to cover your lying ass.
Yeah. I want to go back to the fake dollar thing. I think that is so people see you putting money into the collection bin.
Oh.
And, you know, so the people around you think
don't judge
actually,
you poorly.
Yes.
Yeah. This one's kind of interesting from a texter wrote in, hold a barf bag to your face to keep someone from sitting in the middle seat on a Southwest Airlines flight.
Because you
get to choose your
seats. Yeah.
That's not a bad idea. Yeah.
Now,
just hold the bag and have it
ready to
at
go.
At the ready.
That's a good idea.
That's pretty good.
I might actually do that.
What's the deal with center seats now?
It depends on the airline.
Okay.
And
so don't break out that barf bag.
Don't ask Pierre that question, by the way. Just don't. Trust me on that one.
Okay. Here's another. This is a good one. You can use this anytime. When receiving a call from someone that you don't want to talk to, but must talk to, tell them at the very beginning of the call that your phone is about to die.
Oh, I love it.
And then you just hang up whenever you want to.
Oh, you guys, I do.
You've been doing that?
I do it all the time.
Yeah.
I don't even say in the beginning that my phone is going to die. Just the other day, I hope she's not listening. Just the other day, she was just talking and talking and talking. And I felt it was like not a good, there was no good way to insert and say, hey, listen, I'm at the gas station. I need to pump gas really quick. I'll call you back. So instead, I just hung up. I pumped the gas. I got in the car. Obviously, I had two missed calls and a text message. What happened? And then I called her back and I was like, oh, sorry. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, okay.
I
lost you.
My friend do this to his friend one time and I thought it was so funny. So I tried it with my buddy Jeff. And you start the salacious story, and then you just hang up in the middle of it, you know? So with Jeff, I was like, oh, dude. So I was at the store today, and this chick, she was wearing this skirt. It was so short, click. And you just left it at that. And then he called back, right? And I'm like, oh, well, where did I lose you? He goes, she was wearing a short skirt. Oh, so then she bends, click. And then he called back like four times. It was so funny.
You're just doing that to entertain yourself.
Yes. Yeah, it was for me and for me only. But you guys can use that on your own. It's hilarious.
Who had initiated the call?
The first time?
Yeah.
Probably me.
Okay. Because if I lose a call and the other person initiated it, I assume that it is their responsibility to return the call to
As
me.
Do I.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
So I wouldn't.
He kept calling me back. That's because great, I know him and he's a horn dog. And
he wanted to hear the story.
I would not call back. The person who initiates the call, if the call breaks off, they have to call you back.
Yeah. He wasn't the guy with the rubber sheath story you told me the other day.
No.
Okay.
No, I was a different guy. Dating a new girl came over and brought rubber sheets and said, you're going to need these.
Oh, my God.
Because of
massive
her.
Massive squirter?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Wait, brought the sheets?
Yeah. Yeah. Said, you're going to need these. That's the story that you remember on the air the other day. And I was about to crack the mic. And I come on out of the song and I go, Casey, don't ever say something like that to me right before I turn the microphone
on. That was
on.
It?
Imagine
that was what he was telling me.
You travel that way, but it's good to know. It's good to, you know, you come prepared.
It's outstanding.
You don't go camping without a shovel.
That's hilarious. Good for him. All right.
I know somebody who has to get those sheets, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Rubber sheets?
Yeah. It's like a sex mat.
Wow. You... Okay.
I know. Why? Yeah. Why? It's just that
why would your mom share something? Like that?
Not cool.
Not
listen,
cool,
we bring up
dude.
Her dad all the time. Yeah. It's fair game.
No, yeah. And she has to buy a sex mat.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah.
Some of those videos might be real.
You wear a lobster bib at the restaurants, right? I mean,
here you go. Here's a product. Soaker sheet, waterproof, throw sex. Pet Piddle Pad.
Wow, it's multi-use.
It's from Liquid Nymph. That's the is that the name of the site?
Liquid Use.
Lightweight, travel friendly, absorbent pad for oils, sweat, squirt.
Wow.
I don't know what Amrita what? Is, and I'm not going to say
that.
It
says right there,
word.
Jerry Romano says, I love this pad.
Dude, my mom is going to kill you.
I would never do that to you, Kathy.
You did it to me the other week.
Yeah, but you did it to my wife first. That was totally revenge.
Wow.
Amrita is a type of yoga, so that one's
okay.
That's
all right.
Clean.
All right. I was like, that's...
Woo!
It's a type of tailgate where you pee on someone.
Yeah, right?
Soaker sheet, waterproof, throw sex, pet piddle pad.
Pet piddle pad.
Lightweight, travel-friendly, absorbent pad for oil, sweat, squirt, or Mita, and then this other thing that I Bill doesn't like us to say on here.
Can't say that.
This could be This could be another conversation, but the reason is because there was a procedure done. She wasn't always like that. It just happens now.
Okay, so after some procedures, you can become
a little more moist.
A little more moist.
Yeah. Okay.
Like way moist,
super soaker.
You need to buy a sex mat.
Wow!
But for many that is okay.
Yeah. Well, was the procedure done specifically for that?
Yep. Not to make her do that, but for more sensitivity.
I need you to open the valve a little more.
I spoke to an OBGYN who had said they had a procedure, and he jokingly called it. He said we put the juice back in the burger.
Yep. Yes.
Yeah.
There is a procedure to do that.
Yep.
Wow.
But she doesn't like it. She hates it. Supposedly wears off after a while, so she is like desperately waiting for this to wear off.
How long ago did she get this done?
I'm not exactly sure. I don't know.
Well, okay. Right now on sale, the Jerry Romano piddle pad is
My mom has her own sex pad.
There's one last unethical life hack on this list.
These have been good so far.
Mom's world. And this says apparently say you've never orgasmed from oral to make your partner try harder.
Have you ever employed that?
Or
say you don't like it? Well, you've never been with me.
I want to say that I've actually used that before, yes.
It's not my thing.
It doesn't do it for me.
Oh really? Let me bring my brother in here. Ed, do it to him.
Oh, God. Wow. These are interesting. Some of them are actually pretty good ideas if you don't mind being unethical.
They're sort of like their mental shell games, sort of.
Yeah.
Because that whole thing test. Sexually is, you know, it's not my thing.
Mm-hmm.
You can use that to affect.
All right. Just thought that'd be worth sharing, friends. All right, we need to take a break. We're gonna come back and we're gonna talk to JVR.
There we go. Yeah,
we're gonna switch gears. We're gonna talk about hockey. So make sure that you stay with us. We'll see what's going on with him. And also, there's something else I want to remind you of. Hang on.
Wait.
Oh yeah.
Hold it.
Yeah. The Duncan, the President Steve Cooling Caravan.
This is so cool.
Yeah, we're gonna head out once again and do this, and we're gonna follow safety guidelines, obviously, with our friends from Duncan. What's that?
It's a week from today.
Is it? All right. So the Duncan Community Cruiser is currently on the road. We want to send it to your outdoor work site. And if you are interested, go to WMMR.com and click on contest, and you'll see the President Steve Cooling Caravan. It's a week from today, and the deadline is this coming Tuesday at 11 a.m. So make sure that you get and enter for that. We'll be back in just a moment.
Everything that rocks includes cool MMR swag you can wear.
Rock, 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 MMR Rock Shop. Get your MMR gear at the online store. Rock, rock, MMR Rock Shop. Tees and tops and a whole lot more. Rock, rock, MMR Rock Shop. Hoodies and hats for dudes and chicks. Mugs and masks that make great gifts. Rock, 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 MMR Rock Shop.
Get your hands on some awesome merch at MMR's Rock Shop.
Rock, rock, MMR Rock Shop.
Get shopping at WMMR.com now.
Rock, rock, MMR Rock Shop.
All the merch that rocks.
So our next guest we've known for years and years and years. And you know me, I'm a little out of touch with stuff all the time. And, of course, I know him as his nickname, JVR. But does he also go by Reamer?
I think maybe some of the players will call him that. Like
Marissa wrote Reamer on the screen.
Jonesy and Reamer and Hartsy and whatnot.
Okay. Because I just see Reamer and I'm I know.
It's easier JVR to say Reamer when you're on the ice than it is to yell out JVR.
JVR!
Yeah.
That's true.
There's general, like...
You pigeon?
Generally, I think it's frowned upon. Like, you know... Those nicknames are meant for like players and people within the organization.
Players.
Only. Oh, shut up.
Can we? No, I know what you mean. Yeah, you haven't earned the right to call me this because you're not in my group.
Yeah.
Well, look, so it's his social media handle.
Oh. So. Okay, well, JV Reamer 21, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Fair enough. Right. Just wanted to settle that debate or get that clear.
Or
are
start
we clear?
The debate. Yeah.
All
Crystal.
Right. Crystal. Hockey is starting up. We got preseason, well, sort of preseason-ish game. I guess you'd call it an exhibition game.
Yeah.
Coming up on the 28th, but then they get started on August 2nd. Please welcome the Reamer.
Yeah.
James Van Reams.
Yeah.
To the show. Hey, man.
Hey, I appreciate the breakdown of my two different nicknames. That was pretty in-depth. I don't know if that's been done before. So
is there any protocol to this? Can only certain people call you Reamer and others JVR?
No, I think the Reamer one that started my freshman year in high school, I remember the goalie on our team, Ryan DeCooster. I think, like most people, looked at my last name and they're like, this isn't going to work. I don't know how to say that.
Right.
James, I went to a game when you were playing. I went to a Flyers Maple Leafs game when you were playing for the Leafs, and it ended up that I was sitting next to some of your family members because you grew up in New Jersey, of course. And I think it was either your niece or your cousin. She was rooting for you, and she was calling you Jimmy. So do your family members refer to you as Jimmy?
That's a whole other right there. But, no.
Jeamer.
My dad was a and then that's his sister, and their family started they thought it was funny, they started calling me Jimmy. But when I was younger, I didn't like being called Jimmy. So, like, the soccer coach, when I was, like, maybe 6 or 7 years old, I'd be out there, and he started calling me Jimmy, trying to pull me off the field, and I just wouldn't listen. I just keep running up and down the field playing.
Until he called you James?
So my dad still calls me Jimmy to this day. I kind of just give me a hard time. And then my aunt and their side of the family there, just I think they jumped on that too, so they find that pretty funny.
Yeah, if they know you hate it, they're going to throw it at you probably. Now, has Jim ever been a name for you?
Jim, the only person who calls me Jim is Chris Pronger.
Really?
we're really breaking this down here.
Today. Yeah.
I've
always wondered how Williams end up as Bill and James ends up as Jim and all that. But anyway, but what was Pronger's philosophy behind why Jim?
You know, he never really told me. I just know that he would just call me. Even now, when he texts me, like, he'll start a text with, "Hey, Jim,"
okay.
I don't know why, but that's what he's calling me. I always call him just Jim. We kind of do it as a little bit of a joke, I think, just to be a little more formal as far as always addressing each other by first name. So even when I'll text him now, I'll be like, "Hey, Chris, what's going on?"
Let me ask you, do you have like one of those FBI profiler diagrams on your wall with all the strings going to the different names that you're called?
Who calls you what?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you expect to talk to us about hockey today by any chance? Or?
Whatever you guys got on the docket.
we had to get to the bottom of this. It was too complex.
There's a few things besides, obviously, the getting into how the season's going to play and everything. But I think the last time we saw you, you and your wife are expecting. You have a baby now. How old?
She is going to be 11 weeks old on Saturday. So it's been quite a whirlwind. It's been awesome just to see kind of how much she grows and gets different and does new things and makes new sounds every day and stuff like that. Obviously now just relying a lot on the FaceTime and getting some videos and pictures and stuff like that. But no, it's definitely been unbelievable. It's
well,
been
this
awesome.
it kind of must be special to have this time, given it the season would have been underway, and you guys have this opportunity to bond when you wouldn't have
and work on our nickname.
Yeah,
exactly. No, that's that was one of the kind of silver linings of all of it, because she was born May 2nd, so that would have been right in the time of the playoffs, and who knows how much I would have been able to be around and stuff like that. So I got a few months of. Basically, again, I would I'd go through my routine of training or whatever doing what I needed to do, and then the rest of the day I was there on call and on duty, just hanging out with the baby and just kind of just watching her sleep and everything like that. So that was unbelievable. That was great, and I'll definitely miss them while I'm gone. But obviously, there's a big goal. for our team here that we're trying to chase down. And hopefully we get to share that with them at some point too.
Just continuing on having a new child, and you'd mentioned, you know, watching her sleep and stuff like that. And for those who haven't had children yet, and I'm curious, since you're a new father, I have three kids. Casey's got three kids. Most of us have kids on the show here, and Steve has pretend children.
Yes, I do. Many of them, and they're a joy.
But there's a bizarre thing that they don't tell you about parenthood, I think, anyway, and I've had it concur with other friends of mine who, when you go in at night and you see them, you're going to walk in and see them, and this is a terrible thing to think of, but when you go in and look in the crib, you're like, please be breathing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Things like that never consider that mm-hmm. were like, oh, God, just don't let my worst fear come true here, you know?
Yeah, you know what? It's like sleep well, but don't sleep too well, because I want to still be able to hear you making some noises or moving around.
Please don't be a Rangers fan.
Yeah. And sort of bringing this back full circle that, you know, lo and behold, on May 2nd, you have a new nickname, and so you're going to be called Dad and Daddy and all that. So that's just a new one.
No, for sure. Again, it's one of those things too. I think everyone kind of mentions their experience with becoming a dad or a parent for the first time, and it's just something that's just so hard to put into words. And just going through it, I think, was such an unbelievable experience. And I'm pretty obsessed with my daughter, and definitely miss them. So
that's great. That's great.
All right. Well, listen. And speaking of, you know, this bizarre inconvenience it is, COVID-19 and the way everything has been put on hold, yet another kind of positive in your column would be the fact that you had a hand injury. When was that? Was that in April?
That was that was right. It was like, I think, like maybe three games before we the season got put on pause.
Okay,
so against Washington. So I broke my finger there, and finally, we'll obviously got tons of extra time to heal and be ready to roll. So I was able to really take my time with that and make sure it feels really good. And I have no issues and feel pretty much back to normal. So extra time was good for me.
You're going to find a lot of that with hockey and basketball getting back to basically playoffs. And Ben Simmons, for instance, he was he was laid up with a back injury, and the pandemic and all that has sort of given him time to heal as well. So this is kind of neat. JVR, Jim, what normally are you doing in July? If you weren't obviously preparing for the playoffs.
Yeah, you know, usually in July, that's kind of a month where I'm pretty much in general, like going to weddings or at my place in Minnesota on the lake a bunch, stuff like that. My brother actually was supposed to get married. This Saturday, I think it would have been, but they had to push that back. So obviously, again, I'm sure like lots of other people had to kind of adjust their plans on the fly, but certainly a little bit different, and preparing but being in the mix for playing some hockey. But this is a unique opportunity for us too. And I think we have as good a team as anyone and a good chance to really make some noise here. So we really want to make sure we're taking full advantage of that. So obviously, again, it's going to be different circumstances than what it usually would be. And we're trying to embrace that and make the best of it and just to see what we can do.
Right. You know what, though? It's different circumstances for everybody involved, right? So, like, it's not like you guys have been off for 3 months, but the Rangers have been playing this whole time or whatever. Everybody's going into this with basically the same perspective and the same approach. And it's kind of like the beginning of the season, but it's the beginning of the season where you're diving right into the playoffs. And I've read over and over, James, that for whatever reason, this team, this Flyers team, really seems to have incredible chemistry. Would you agree with that?
No, definitely. I think there's such a great dynamic on the team. And it's one of those things too, where when you're on the road or whatever, and in normal times, obviously we'll be in the bubble when we're up in Toronto, and there won't be many of these options or choices to make. But in a normal circumstance, it's one of those things where anytime we get to a road city or something it's not very clicky. So like basically you can go, like anybody goes for dinner with anybody. It's not really like the same three guys are always going or whatever it is. So that's been a cool thing. That doesn't happen on every team. So we're lucky to have something like that. So we have just a great mix, a great dynamic with our group.
And what a unique scenario with this, because this could be anybody's cup. This could be anybody, no matter who's on the team, no matter how they were performing before, you know, teams can get hot. I mean, you look at the Blues and the way when they won and they were the worst team in the league and they clicked, it came together and they won it. And so that has got to present, you know, a unique scenario, I think, for every single team involved, because you haven't, you know, it's like a whole new season starting over, only we're getting right into it. So does it feel completely different than, I mean, it's got to feel different in many ways, but leading into a playoff run, hopefully, because I think there's going to be a round robin tournament first to determine seeding, and then you do the playoffs. So where's your head as far as, you know, your guys' chances?
Yeah, I mean, again, it's going to be one of those things too. Like everyone always talks about the NHL and the parity in the league and how close teams are. So now again, we have eight extra teams that are in the mix for competing for the cup that maybe wouldn't necessarily be there in a normal situation. So that adds another wrinkle to all this. And again, obviously, we had that all the time off and stuff like that. So again, trying to find that. Find that kind of that magic or whatever. Teams are looking to find that again and just get on a roll and see what they can do. But again, I think again it's pretty wide open in that sense. We want to again make sure we're doing what we can do to make the process for us getting up to speed and getting back to where we were as seamless as possible. And I think again the coaching staff and AV have done a great job with kind of their plan for us, and they're going to really have us peaking at the right time. So we've got all the confidence in them and kind of the plan they put in place for us to be prepared to play.
Hey, I wanted to ask what it was like skating with a mask on, because you guys, I'd heard you had practice and the first part of it went with everybody leaving the masks on. How did that affect your abilities?
For which part? Oh, so this would have been before, because yeah, now in training camp, we don't have to do that.
You don't have to. Okay. All right. Because
yeah,
I know that martial arts,
that would be weird. Yeah.
Like mixed martial arts trainers sometimes will actually train with a snorkel or something like that to inhibit their breathing a little
Interesting.
To get them used to being able to, you know, have that ability with a little less oxygen coming in, and then it kind of helps in their training. I don't know
that's a good point, because I think again they have some stuff like that too. There's these training masks you can get to kind of simulate being at a higher altitude and kind of getting less air to breathe and making it a little more challenging, so you have to focus on other things. But no, thankfully we were able to just be out there just pretty much normally.
I know that the goalies have had to switch to cloth masks, which is, to me seems more of a risk.
James, you mentioned the coaching staff and AV, and Alain Vigneault was named as a Jack Adams finalist yesterday, a coach of the year for the NHL. This is kind of an open-ended question, but what do you think makes him such a great coach, such an effective coach? We got to know him a little bit at Camp Out for Hunger in December. He just seems like an awesome guy, and he's coached a lot of teams really well, taken a few teams to the finals. What do you like about AV?
Yeah, I think for me the biggest thing that stands out, and I kind of mentioned it a little bit before, but just he's open to different things, and he lets people do their job. So, for example, like obviously a lot of the sports science stuff is relatively new. In the scope of all the data that gets collected and what to do with that and the best way to approach things. And again, obviously he's a coach who's been around for a while, so a lot of times I feel like it can be harder for them to kind of adapt with that stuff, but he's jumped in kind of full, jumped in the deep end of all that stuff, and he loves it. And he, again, he's doing a great job with us now and in a situation where, again, we've had this time off and we're trying to peak at the right time, and just the way he kind of, again, certain times knows when to push, certain times knows when to pull back. So I think stuff like that goes a long way with that part. And obviously, again, I think just kind of is the confidence that we have in him because of stuff like that, I think is huge. And I think obviously he's got that, looking back on his career, just that instant credibility that he brought to the locker room, and guys were buying into what he was wanting from us. And I think again it's been a great fit so far, and we're we're happy for him to get that to get kind of acknowledged like that and with a league award. But obviously, there's some bigger goals that all of us are all chasing now, and I'm sure as he'll say too, like that's the thing that he's been around for a while, and that's the one thing that the last kind of box he wants to check off is again chasing down the Stanley Cup. So so yeah, hopefully we can all get that done.
So there's going to be two hub cities. It's going to be Toronto and Edmonton. You guys are going to be in Toronto. Do you know what your limitations are going to be as far as is it you know, hotel or wherever you're staying, straight to practice facility, hotel straight to the game, hotel, and you can't go anywhere else? Have they given you guys information on what your, you know, freedom or lack thereof is going to be during the remainder of the season?
You know what? No, I haven't heard exact specifics on protocol and all that stuff and what's available to us. I know the hotel that we're staying at, there's lots of space around it and a few different other facilities. There's like the MLS team there. They have their facility right there. The AHL team in Toronto, their facility is right there. So it's a big, almost like open sort of area there. So I think we're going to have access to all stuff like that. And then I don't know how the other day-to-day stuff is going to look like. I have heard like everyone else, like for some of the hub cities, we're talking about having maybe golf courses open on certain days for guys to be able to go golf or something like that, just to give us something to do. But I'm not sure on some of those other specifics that they're going to have ready for us when we get there.
So as a viewer, and I don't know if this is true for players, but you know, as a viewer, as the outsider looking in, when playoff hockey starts, it just seems faster. And I wasn't sure if it seemed that way for you as well. And if that is the case, how close to playoff hockey are you guys looking right now?
Yeah, you know, that's the magic question right there. I think again, it's going to be obviously. The things that always kind of stand out for me about when you play in the playoffs, it's always like, again, the atmosphere, there's just always a certain buzz in the buildings, and then obviously the speed of the game. So obviously now we're going to be in empty arenas, and you're going to have to manufacture some of that atmosphere to keep everyone kind of in it and keep everyone jumping and on their toes and stuff like that. So I think that's something that teams will have to adjust to pretty good. But yeah, I think again, I think looking at our first couple practices here, I think the guys look pretty sharp so far. Obviously we still have some room to be a little bit better and a little bit more prepared, but I think so far we're on the right track for that. So hopefully when it comes down to it here in early August, when we start playing these games, we're ready to roll.
With the lack of crowd, there's, you know, be a couple interesting dynamics. I mean, it might seem like a flashback for you guys, maybe when you were playing when you were kids, when there weren't that many people, you know, in attendance, and it might be a little nostalgic. And also, I'm curious if the chatter will be a little bit more free-flying, because you'll be able to clearly hear each other even more.
Yeah, no, for sure. That part's going to be interesting. I'm sure they got some stuff lined up for the broadcast and maybe have some people mic'd up and that sort of stuff. So yeah, we'll see. Hopefully there's a little bit of a delay on that, or you might be getting here and there. Mm-hmm. So hopefully they have time to figure that out. But no, I think again, hopefully they're being creative with different kind of access and things to show people a little bit more behind the scenes in this sort of circumstance. And obviously, again, it's going to be something that hopefully we never have to go through again as far as playing with empty buildings like this. But yeah, hopefully they're able to kind of show the game in a little bit of a different light and maybe give people a different way to kind of see behind the scenes of what's going on.
Speaking of behind the scenes, sorry to jump in here, Steve,
no problem.
But at the last Camp Out for Hunger, we went over to the arena and we were hanging out behind the bench. And what I never knew until I was back there is that you guys have monitors on the floor.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that that's what the coaches have been looking at. When there's replays going on, there are monitors. They've got them right on the blue lines. They've got them above the creases. And if you see the coach next time you're watching
that is
a game,
cool.
You see him looking down, they're looking at a monitor that's embedded in the floor.
I just thought they were disinterested.
I know, right? do you ever take a peek of those during the game, James, or is that for the coaching staff mainly?
So that one is for the coaches to tell if a play is offside by like 3/8 of an inch.
Yeah.
So they're usually looking at that for that when they're challenging some of that stuff. We have those iPads on the bench too. So if you want to like take a look at a certain thing from the shift before, that's kind of nice to have. Or if you're on the power play and there's a certain thing you're looking at, you can see it in real time, which is nice to be able to make those sorts of adjustments. So I think that only started maybe 3-4 years ago, something like that. But that's definitely huge, huge to have that back there now, and we can definitely use it to your advantage.
How excited will you be if you win the Stanley Cup, going down Broad Street, seeing all those laptop computers lining the all those Zoom conference calls going, and the cheers from the tiny speakers in those laptops as everyone cheers you on? It's going to be so exciting.
No, for sure.
Hey, one last bit of good news that's bigger than hockey. Oscar Lindblom was able to ring the bell. He apparently is 100% cancer-free, which is incredible and amazing. And to see the support from the league and the team was really, really heartwarming. Have you had a chance to chat with him at all, James?
Yeah, I've got a chance to chat with him a couple times. Got a chance to text him, obviously, a bunch throughout the process. And it was pretty amazing, just his temperament and his mindset. Going through just this whole process. I mean, just never complained, just always kind of had a great outlook on things and on life. I think he's always kind of been like that too. Just kind of a great person to always be around. So yeah, to see him go in there and then ring that bell like that, that was pretty incredible moment.
It's phenomenal. It's so cool. And you can tell what he's made of.
Yeah, I get goosebumps watching it now. I mean, it's just so incredible. And then like he's leaving this ward, and he has a present for the staff that have been taking care of him the whole time. You know, he just seems like a great kid.
No, he is. He's got a great kid, a great head on his shoulders, and you know, it was nice. We obviously saw him. I wasn't back in town yet, but saw those videos of him on the ice a couple times there too. So I know he's fired up to try to start training again here and then go from there. It was great to see him since I've been back in town here, and now I know he's excited to kind of get going with the sort of next phases now and start getting back to a normal life. That's awesome, and obviously we're so thrilled for him and happy for him, and it was unbelievable. Like you guys said, seeing that video, you just get kind of goosebumps watching it.
Yeah. Well, listen, I'm happy for you guys that they've figured out a way to make the season happen. But I'm happy for us too.
Yeah.
Happy for us, all us fans of Flyers and just hockey in general, because it's going to be great, crowd or no crowd. It's going to be cool to see you guys playing again. So the exhibition game on the 28th, and then the remainder of the season will start up on August 2nd. So cool, man. It is good to talk to you, James, Jimmy, Jim, Reamer, JVR,
Dad,
all those names.
Bob Saget.
Listen, no matter what people call you, we call you awesome. So. But listen, good luck with everything, man. So we'll talk to you soon, okay?
All righty. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Take care. James, Jimmy, that's awesome. And you know what? I also wanted to point out too that I love that the Flyers have really embraced Pride Month, and the LGBTQ community. And James had participated in the You Can Plays virtual Pride Day, which was really cool. So they're a good group of people, man. So love the Flyers. I know we got a couple of minutes here. I got this email I thought was quite interesting. We had the conversation about the air conditioning crapping out in my vehicle after long drive.
18-hour round trip with no AC.
I got an email from a gentleman who listens to us in Dubai.
Dubai, which is in Kentucky.
No, it's not in Kentucky. His name is Noor Kanawati Esquire.
Uh-huh.
And he's actually emailed him before. Temple University, Beasley School of Law, 2014, Villanova University, 2011. He said, hey, I listen to your podcast from Dubai, and I've never felt heat so intense in my life. Recently, our AC broke, and because of COVID, getting it fixed, 2 weeks. He said, to give you an idea of the heat, at 5 a.m., before the sun is up, It's 95 degrees, but feels like it's 114.
Oh, wow.
And midday feels anywhere from 120 to 135.
But it's a dry heat, guys.
It's a dry heat.
It's a dry heat.
And so is your oven.
Big difference.
Yeah, I love that.
Did you get, I sent you over an article about a record.
That was going to be my my segue into this. Yes. Yeah, so Death Valley hit a record, or at least they'd say it's not the all-time record, but it's the highest temperature anywhere on Earth since 2017, and it hit 128 degrees. That's legitimate temperature. That's not with the, you know, humidity factored in. That's just...
That's not the real feel.
Yeah, that's
it's 128, but it's going to feel like 132.
The official weather station in the area recorded 128 degrees, although a photo taken at the Appley named Furnace Creek Visitor Center was 129.
I was supposed to go there this year. I was for our spring vacation, and it's okay that that didn't happen. You know, we're scheduled to go another time. I would like to make it to all the national parks in the system at some point in my life. So I put Death Valley on the spring vacation schedule this year. I don't know why anybody would ever go there in the summer. You know, like because temperatures like this aren't common, but they're not that uncommon. You
people,
know what I mean?
People do go, and people die.
Yeah,
they do.
They think that they're going to do it, and it's kind of like a fun thing. And let's see what the story is. And they get out there, and they realize quickly that they're. So I've been out in that general area, and you know, it is it's amazing. It's amazing how quickly you realize you need to leave.
I was in Arizona and Utah and Nevada in like July, August. And I want to say the hottest, that's probably the hottest temperature I've ever actually felt myself. And it was probably in the neighborhood of 110 degrees or something like that.
Yeah, you flew in and out of Vegas, right?
I flew in and out of Vegas.
Vegas is routinely over 100.
Yeah.
You know, at this time of year.
And I was in Scottsdale one year, and it was 112, 113.
Oh, yeah. Well, last year when we flew into Vegas, and then immediately I wanted to go see the Hoover Dam and walk across it, and it was stifling. But it was crazy when you walked into the shade. You felt like
It was a dry death.
Yeah.
No, but you walk in the shade, you actually feel comfortable, right?
Yeah. Or more comfortable, you should say.
The bitch of it is that because of the way the topography is and the environment in general, at night, it gets cool. It can even get cold.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's like a 50-degree temperature swing from daytime to nighttime.
Yeah, yeah.
Because of there's just no atmosphere.
Wasn't there a guy for a while in Death Valley? I think it was Death Valley. And he would do, it was either... I don't know if they had like a 5K or whatever, but he was dressed as Darth Vader and do it. You know what I'm talking about?
So people that flock to these extreme sports will go there because there's like a marathon that runs through it. There's actually a race from the highest point in the continental United States, which is Mount Whitney, to Death Valley. They're not that far apart. And so Death Valley has the lowest point in the U.S. and then not that far away is Mount Whitney. So people will do a run from one to the other. And like... God bless you for doing that, but that's just insane in my book, you know? But
death
they do
is
it.
In the name.
Yes.
I wouldn't go to Diarrhea Beach.
Right. It's called Death Valley.
You just know it's going to be unpleasant.
Yeah, yeah. It still holds the record.
Menstrual falls. No one goes.
Oh my God.
It still holds the record for the hottest air temperature ever recorded, which was set in July of 1913. That was 134 degrees Fahrenheit. A number of daily records in other high places were broken just this past Sunday, including an all-time high at Borger, Texas, which is near Amarillo. That was 116 degrees. Daily records were set in Palm Springs, California at 121, 116 in Phoenix, 113 in Tucson, 110 in Roswell, 109 in Del Rio, Texas as well. Even more northerly states, including Wyoming and Utah, had towns hit triple digits above 100 degrees.
The whole Palm Springs thing cracks me up, Preston, because I've been out there a number of times. And in Palm Springs, like, it has sort of a retirement vibe to it at some level.
Yeah. Yep.
It's like, man, no. You don't want to be 75, 80 years old.
Yeah. Not in July, but I was there in October, and it was... delightful. I mean, it was definitely, warm. It was in the, high 80s, low 90s, or whatever, but again, dry
in the
heat.
Low 120s.
But, in the late afternoon and in the evening, I loved it. I love that temperature. When I went to, when I did that boat trip through the Grand Canyon, it was really hot at the bottom of the canyon, obviously. And at night, it got cooler. And what we made the mistake the first night of when we set up camp, me and my cousins, we set up our cots like right next to the canyon wall. And what we didn't know was that the canyon wall just absorbs all that heat during the
and
day,
then lets it off
and then radiates it at night. I'm like, yeah. God damn it, it's hot! Like, why is it? You know, I was just sweating. And then what we realize is, if you camp closer to the water,
yes,
you know,
it was, has a cooling effect. Uh-huh. Hey guys, the water is cooler.
Did you hear?
Yeah. Hey, get out of the campfire and come over here.
The lowest of the temperature Phoenix experienced was sweltering 93 degrees. Mm. And the record-breaking heat is being what's called a heat dome, which is centered across the southwest of the United States. A heat dome.
Yeah.
The area stretches 1,700 miles from Southern California's deserts across to Panama City on the Florida Panhandle. And over 19 million Americans are under excessive heat warnings in the southwest alone, along with parts of Texas and Louisiana.
I love Nat Geo does a number of specials. I think they had a series about animals that survive in the most extreme conditions.
Yeah.
And that how they do it, it's just amazing.
Yeah.
Of course, you have to be, in many cases, a lizard to be able to do it.
Yeah. This means that temperatures of more than 120 degrees in California and Arizona deserts on 110 degrees in the western parts of Texas over the coming weeks will not be uncommon. The heat dome, what that is, it sees sunny skies and dry air sinking through the atmosphere. And as it does so, it warms up and produces more heat. And over the next few days, the heat dome may start to weaken, but also begin to move northwards, firstly into the Mississippi Valley and then
Yay.
Into the Ohio Valley and mid-Atlantic states.
Cool.
So that might hit us.
What causes humidity?
Moisture.
Yeah, it's moisture in the air, but I don't know. What do you mean by what causes it? I'm not sure.
What causes air?
Yeah. Well,
there's enough space in between the molecules to allow water to work its way into it. So, like, if in a desert, for example, the air is literally tighter. So there's not as much room in between molecules for water to work its way in. And when you're in a place like Philadelphia, there's enough room in the air to have it expand and water molecules to work their way into the air molecules.
There's a lot of damn room.
Yeah.
Okay. And by the way, this desert is so tight.
I've been reading that Dubai is more humid than Philadelphia. So not only is it 122 degrees there, it's also like 60-70% humidity in the summertime.
It's wild, Nick, when you have people who come and visit. And they so, okay, this is the Northeast, as you come into Philadelphia, they and I say be prepared because it is a humid mother effer here.
It would get in Missouri, middle of the country. It would get ridiculously humid, and I thought the same thing.
Yeah,
moving to Philadelphia.
Oh,
don't
have to deal with that.
A little further north.
Yeah,
all right. A little less humidity, a little less heat. It's the exact same thing.
Suck it.
It's the same thing here. Maybe not as often.
Yeah.
But we still get nasty humidity here. And everybody knows how bad that is. In fact, Kenny could tell you a little bit about it. He's on the line. Hi, Kenny. Good morning.
Hey. Good Gadzooks.
Good Gadzooks to you, sir. And may all your Gadzooks be happy.
So
Gadzooks us everyone, by the way.
So I'm a mascot with the Philadelphia Union and like a sidekick to the Fanatic with the Phillies. And so last year I had a mascot in the heat advisory and wear a costume that doesn't allow any air through it or any moisture to escape from it.
That's such a death sentence.
Take the day off.
Yeah.
You know?
Not unless you're playing Strokey the Heat Stroke.
Right.
So it was so sweltering hot, I literally lost 6 pounds of sweat. Just from sweating out of me.
So going into it, Kenny, you knew, all right, this is going to be a day. I'm going to weigh myself, and you checked it?
I did.
Wow.
So, I mean, you have to slam liquids or else you're just going to pass out. I mean, you can literally have a heat stroke and place you in a very precarious situation.
Yep. So all you can do is hydrate in advance. That's the only thing you can do because once you are thirsty, you're already screwed. It's
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, hang in there, Kenny.
Jesus.
Hopefully the heat dome won't hit you. And I've told you guys this before. My buddy Ben and I went to Alabama to go on a golf trip.
Yeah.
In the dead of summer. Alabama's oppressively hot.
And humid.
And we were out one day, and the sun was just beating down. It was like 98 degrees and so on. And so I had to have drank, and I've told you guys this before, at least, I know it was over a gallon of water easily during our round of golf. It might have been like a gallon and a half. I did not pee one time.
Crazy,
not
right?
one time. You guys see me, I go to the bathroom two, three times in the morning here if I'm drinking, you know.
Your body's using it all.
30 ounces of water during the show.
We talk about the hottest, the most humid I've ever felt was Louisiana.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, the most humid by far.
Yeah.
And there's just a smell to, you know, that just, it's just like a moldy sort of, it's just horrible.
Yeah.
You're all horrible.
I was in Tunisia. That's the hottest I've ever been in my entire life in August.
Okay. Oh, you wanted to visit where?
You were going to visit the site of the first Star Wars movie.
Yes.
No, yes. Somebody said cruise. I think I was on a cruise, and that was one of the stops we went.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was so hot. Like, couldn't get out of there fast enough.
Yeah. You didn't enjoy it.
I mean, it was cool to see. I remember it. I have the pictures. But, like, what I remember most is how hot it was.
Yeah. You went to the Tunisian Muscle Beach and worked out.
Yeah. The worst is when you go to hop in a pool, all right, to get cooled off. And this happened to me in Vegas. I was like, oh, it's so hot. I can't wait to jump into this pool and cool off in the pool.
It's hot.
It was just as hot as the air was. Yeah. And I'm like, this sucks.
Yeah. Stinks.
Yeah. This stinks.
Go to Tunisia, jump into the pool, swim in. It's hot as air. Stinks.
You're better than that.
So hopefully, now they are saying that, you know, it's going to be a warmer than average, or the forecast is going to be a warmer than average summer. But we've gotten a pretty good way through it so far and haven't gotten nailed other than just a few days so far. So we'll see if that holds up.
Been able to enjoy the pandemic.
Yes, we have.
Yeah.
All right. Anyhow, we should take a break because I do have some more bizarre file stories I want to share with you. Oh, by the way, speaking of JVR and the Flyers, they have a new playoff T-shirt. You may have seen the players wearing it, and it reads anytime, anywhere. And they are now available, along with a newly assembled lineup of playoff merch featuring the player's slogan, anytime, anywhere, at the Flyers' new Era Team Store.
Era.
At Wells Fargo Center. And now open Monday through Friday, 1 to 6 p.m. Or you can order online for curbside pickup or delivery at shop.wfcphilly.com. You want one of these shirts?
Uh-huh.
I'll take caller number 14 and give you one. 215-263-WMMR. Give us a call right now. We'll take a break. Come back in a second. Stay with us.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Cage the Elephant.
Call me when you're ready to be real.
Like the dawn. Larkin Poe. Rival Sons.
We move through the world like shooting stars across the sky.
New music, more of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
All right, I got some more stories to share with you in the Bizarre File.
Now, WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
And it's brought to you by Hers. You can pick up specially marked bags of Hers today.
I love Hers.
For a chance to win $10,000 and take your summer to the next level. Full rules and details at summer.hers.com. Hers, forever good. A Toronto woman says that she was left shocked and disgusted after she saw a cleaner at a grocery store spitting on a towel and then wiping down the grocery baskets with it.
No.
We're trying to make sure it's clean.
The incident was recorded at a Freshco location. In the video, a cleaner is seen using a small white towel to wipe down baskets. And at one point, he appears to spit into the towel and continues wiping down the basket.
It's okay. I eat Tide Pods.
This is according to Marta Casimiro. She said, I was in shock. I feel sick. She's the one who recorded the video. She adds that the cleaner continued on to wipe down grocery carts with the same towel as well. She first began recording because she noticed the baskets were very dirty when she entered the store. She intended to show the manager that the cleaner was not doing a good job of wiping them down when she coincidentally caught what she calls the unacceptable act on video.
Why would you think that was in any way antiseptic?
A manager was unavailable on the day of the incident occurred, so she called back the following morning and was subjected to, quote, very bad customer service from the franchise manager.
You're stupid.
She had stated, he said he didn't want to see the video, he didn't believe me, and he treated us very badly. Marta said she contacted management at a higher level, but did not hear back for a few days. On Wednesday, her husband received a call saying that the cleaner has been suspended.
Mm-hmm.
This is a horrible story. Very, very tragic. A driver deliberately crashed a bus full of passengers into a reservoir in southwestern China hours after discovering his house had been demolished. 21 people died and 15 were injured when the bus swerved across five lanes, smashed to a guardrail, and partially sank.
So he learned that his house had been demolished while he was driving?
It's a weird story. So, no, now, I don't know if it happened, if he learned about it when he was driving. I think this was his intention after.
Oh, my God. He picked these people and said, I'm going to kill them.
Horrible. The driver, whose surname is Zhang, was among those killed. Zhang was... And this is according to the police statement. It said he was unsatisfied with his life and with the demolition of his rented public house. In order to get noticed, he committed an extreme criminal act. Zhang normally began his shift at noon, but on July 7th, he asked another driver if he could start earlier. Just after 9, he bought a bottle of baijiu, which is a strong Chinese alcohol, before pouring it into a plastic beverage container. Hours later, just before the crash, Zhang sent his girlfriend a voice message on WeChat expressing world-weary feelings. Shortly before he drove the bus into the reservoir, he was seen drinking from a plastic beverage bottle in the driver's seat. He had been given the rental property, apparently, when he worked at a diesel engine factory. He hadn't lived there for some time, but he had known the house was marked for demolition as part of a, quote, shantytown reconstruction project. He had applied for compensation and new housing, but when he was offered $10,000 for losing the house, he didn't claim it and was turned down for a new accommodation. On the day of the crash, he had found out that the house had been demolished, leaving him homeless, but he decided to kill 20 other people along with him. That's just insane. A woman told sheriff's deputies that she forgot that a drug pipe was in her butt when they found her. An x-ray had determined that it was indeed there.
Is that drug pipe still up my ass?
I was looking for that.
I tell you, I'd forget my head if it wasn't on tight.
The case of the 34-year-old lady with an apparent crack pipe sequestered in her hindquarters happened June 12th. Investigators went to the jail after a report of a possible impaired
Edna,
driver.
You know the crack pipe? It was in my ass.
The whole time.
I'm sorry for having everyone search.
A woman was slouched over a steering wheel of a Toyota, her foot on the brake, and the vehicle in drive. One person said the vehicle was there for about 20 minutes. The woman said that she was tired and hadn't been getting much sleep. After participating in a field sobriety exercise, a woman was arrested on a DUI charge. Investigators found what they said were items consistent with smoking drugs in her vehicle. The woman was taken to jail where an x-ray showed a foreign object in her groin area. Strip search revealed a charred cylindrical object or pipe with filter material inside of it. The woman told the deputy she forgot about the pipe. She forgot it was there.
I guess that's where the tactical shovel is, too.
In addition to the DUI charge, she was also arrested on possession of drug paraphernalia and introducing contraband into a detention facility.
It's embarrassing sometimes when you forget the things you've shoved in your ass.
You never like to admit it. Let's see. How about this story? A man has been left stunned after he discovered an entire house that was concealed in his attic that he never knew about. He had just never gone in his attic.
Okay.
The unidentified property owner shared photos of the intact dwelling to Reddit on Monday, showing after he made the bizarre discovery. The man who goes by the
username... Welcome, neighbor.
Mr. Griff. There was nobody living in there.
Oh, okay.
But he did not reveal the location of his home, but said that he had no idea what was concealed in his attic until he entered through a manhole. Photos shared to the social media site showed that the home lodged in the roof, complete with a bathroom, floral wallpaper, and fully functioning windows. He had posted an exterior picture of his property so the Reddit users could come to understand how a home could fit in his attic. But he went on to explain that the original building on the property was two stories tall. The lower floor operated as a shop, and the store owners occupied the above level. The structure was later converted into a church, during which time builders decided to leave the second story intact and simply build around it.
So when
they concealed it with using insulation bats, and they went on to add a large extension to the ground floor.
That's pretty wild.
Yeah.
So when he bought it, the house was that way. He just had never gone into that area.
I guess he never looked up there. Huh. Yeah. So he said, "Your attic." According to one poster, they wrote, "Your attic looks like the beginning of a horror movie." Or another one wrote, "You're going to Narnia." So the exterior photo of the property gives no indication as to what could be lodged in his roof, and the unusual discovery has intrigued and terrified Reddit users in equal measure.
I have a weird recurring dream where there's an entire wing of my house that I've never been to. And this dream has happened to me a dozen times, maybe more. And it's there's this part of the house that I've never visited, and I don't know why, and that dream happens to me quite
often. Maybe that's where you keep the Pearl Jam cassettes that Preston was looking for in his dream.
I had a dream last night. Nick was in it. It's a typical, you know, job dream where things don't go right at work, and we were not here, but in a radio studio, and we were supposed to interview Eddie Vedder. It was just me and Nick. And so I got Eddie Vedder on the phone, and I'm talking to him, but we couldn't do the interview until we had some Pearl Jam music to play. So Nick went into a production studio next door, and apparently all we had were cassette tapes. And so he's digging through, and he's trying to find some Pearl Jam music, because I wasn't going to do it without introducing him with some Pearl Jam music. And we only had like 10 minutes with him. And so I'm spending this time, and I realize I don't know what to talk to Eddie Vedder about that wouldn't be a part of the interview. So,
right.
So we talked about cooking.
Oh, well. Mm-hmm. He likes to cook.
Yeah,
his big chick, that hidden wing in his house.
Yeah. So it was just a bizarre dream, you know, that I had. And Eddie Vedder and Nick. And maybe sometime I'll visit your wing in my dreams.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a break. Come back in a second, and we'll do the lesson question from today. Give away something for those who have been paying attention. And Trash and Music News coming up, too. Stay with us.
Listen to all the WMMR podcasts as well as a live stream on your Alexa-enabled device. Just say, Alexa, open MMR.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
It's been absolutely pleasant the last few days. We actually ate dinner on our roof last night. The roof
really?
Of our house, yes.
And you have a cathedral roof.
No. No, we did. We got a roof that we can actually get out to if we crawl out one of the bedroom windows.
I always wanted one of those rooms.
And so we went out, and it was really pleasant, nice little breeze, and we had dinner out there as a family. It was cool.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I like
something
that.
Something different to do. Yeah.
My friend just bought a new house, and her five-year-old, they have a similar to that, Preston, and they found their five-year-old on the roof the other day.
Five-year-old?
Five.
Yeah. We would
he
start.
He watched her. She was cleaning the windows, and he watched her take the screen out and like push the two little ends in.
Yeah.
And so he figured out how to do it. So he actually went up there and took the screen out, crawled outside, and went on the roof. And
whoops.
The neighbor called her and was like, "By the way, your son's on the roof."
Oh my God!
I always loved the roof as a kid. So actually, in our house right now, you can walk out from my wife's bathroom. There's a full, like stand up size window. You could walk right out to on a, it's a semicircular, it's made of stone. You've seen that part of my house. It looks like, you know, stone. And it's up there. And it is, I don't know.
Go up there.
It just draws you to it. Yeah.
It's a different perspective. It's like Dead Poets Society. Sometimes you got to take a different view.
Yeah, right.
You know, different perspective.
When he was 3 or 4, my youngest brother, Josh, this was February, crawled out the bathroom window at our house in Paoli out onto the roof because it was a roof. It was a flat roof above the kitchen. And my mom caught him doing that. And he's sitting out there and she's yelling, "Josh, what are you doing?" He's like, "It's all right, Mom. I'm not cold." Mom.
Well, maybe we can have a discussion about all this at another time. In the meantime, we're going to do today's lesson question. I don't have the questions, by the way, Nick. So.
You know what? That's because I didn't print them.
Ah, it's okay. I'll let you pose the question. By the way, we're going to give away a 24-karat gold dip rose from Steven Singer Jewelers. What's the question we're going with today?
I'm sorry, Kathy. Who is the official endorser of the Sex Piddle Pad?
Oh, my God. 215-263-WMMR. Who's the official endorser of the Sex Piddle Pad?
Yeah.
215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you were listening and know the answer. While we're waiting for that call, we're going to do this.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
And it's brought to you by Horizon. Serious July heat calls Horizon Services. Best AC tune-up deal. Tune up your air conditioner for just $59 and get up to a pound refrigerant for free. Visit horizonservices.com.
We hired Tonto as a salesman.
I guess so.
They fixed it.
So what's going on, Steve?
Nick Cannon posting another lengthy Facebook message after he was fired by Viacom-CBS for failing to apologize over a series of anti-Semitic comments. Wrote Cannon, quote, "We are in a time of great tension between white and black, Gentile and Jew, but we should all stand together against the Scottish."
Oh, my God.
Rumors are flying that Kris Jenner and her boyfriend, Corey Gamble, are preparing for a televised wedding sometime later this year. Jenner says marrying Gamble would mean a thing if she couldn't whore it out for money. And finally, 54-year-old boxing legend Mike Tyson joining the Discovery Channel Shark Week for a special called Tyson vs. Jaws, Rumble on the Reef. Tyson reportedly faces greatest competition when he goes head-to-head with a Mako shark to see which is better at reading comprehension. That's Hollywood Trash.
All righty. Let's see if somebody knows the answer to this. Who is the endorser of the...
The Sex Piddle Pad.
Sex Piddle Pad.
Yes.
I will go to Carrie for the answer. Carrie, good morning.
Did we just become best friends?
We did! Yeah! All right, Carrie, what is who's the endorser of the Sex Piddle Pad?
I think it's Kathy's mom.
Yes! Hang on, Carrie. We are going to give you a 24-karat gold dip rose from Steven Singer Jewelers. Steven Singer Jewelers showroom at the other corner of 8th and Walnut is now open for appointments only. And you can go to IHateStevenSinger.com to book your appointment today. Let's get into music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR. Yeah!
And it's brought to you by Hers. Pick up specially marked bags of Hers today for a chance to win $10,000 and take your summer to the next level. Full rules and details at summer.hers.com. Hers, forever good. About this, I thought this was kind of interesting. When it comes to outrageous autograph requests, the band Asking Alexandria might have the best story. Band member Ben Bruce responded to a fan-submitted question during an interview yesterday about the weirdest thing a fan has given them. He said someone did present their penis to sign and rather comically handed us one of those mini Sharpies to sign it with. And we couldn't have done that today, he said. For frontman Danny Warsnip, it was when a fan pulled out a knife and he said, asked me to carve my name in him.
Oh. So we've had our share. A case.
I signed a nutsack.
Yep.
You signed a nutsack?
I did.
Yeah. The guy said, do you sign my ballsack? And I was like, okay. And he was like, oh, no. I guess I have to do this now. I'm like, yes, you do.
Yep. Why not? Metallica is releasing their Metallica in San Francisco Symphony SNM 2 album next month. The album documents last year's shows that the group played with the orchestra in September and will arrive in 11 different configurations, including Blu-ray, vinyl, and packages that contain both audio and video footage of the event. The album comes 20 years after the band's first concerts with the Symphony in 1999 at the Berklee Community Theater. The late composer-arranger Michael Kamen had conducted them. The band requested that the orchestra's music director, Michael Tilson Thomas, help to bring Kamen's vision to fruition. Metallica affiliate Greg Feidelman told Billboard, honoring Michael was always a guiding light as we put things together, and we wanted to revisit his idea and take it to another level. So the album is due out August 28th, and we played All My Hands yesterday.
And everyone agreed it was the greatest thing they've ever heard. I liked it, but it sort of split. All this stuff splits people. You know, if you're a hardcore fan of Metallica, it may not be what you're used to.
Nick, you mentioned this yesterday, and I'm gonna bring it up in full here in the music news. Wolfgang Van Halen, who's been working on a solo album the past few years, took time out to answer a fan's question on Instagram. He had first performed live with Van Halen, just to remind you, on the band's 2007 world tour, which also marked the return of David Lee Roth. He made his recording debut with the band's 2012 album, A Different Kind of Truth. Wolfgang has also toured as a member of Alter Bridge, and that was in 2015, I believe. So now the 29-year-old Van Halen bassist wrote, I answered a question in my story about whether or not I view my father's legacy reputation as a gift or a curse. And this is what I said. And judging by the response, the answers seemed to resonate with many. So I figured I'd make it a post. So thanks for being cool, y'all. Excited to get this music out. So his Instagram post reads, and answering the question about his father being, you know,
a blessing or a curse.
Yeah, his legacy and reputation. He said, being who I am, I think people at least will be interested in what my work will sound like, which is nice. But on the other hand, if it's not exactly what they want to hear, or if I do not sound Van Halen-y enough for them, they'll hate me and won't give me the time of day. I'm fully prepared for a wave of hate when my music releases because it won't be what people think it'll be. I'm not trying to be my father. I'm trying to be me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I thought that was well put.
So that's where he sits. And if you know that and can make peace with that,
yeah,
then it sounds like he has.
But I like how he admits, he said, you know, he said, think people will probably be interested, you know, because he's my dad.
Yeah.
And what's it going to sound right. like? He said, which is nice. But he's being himself. He's writing what is in his heart. Back on July 7th, Wolfgang spoke about the new album, tweeting, I'm working on it. The state of the world has really thrown a wrench into how I see this releasing, given that no touring is able to happen until this all blows over. He said, but I have a few ideas that I'm really excited about, so stay tuned. So that will be coming out. Stone Sour has released another demo from the vaults. The bonus track, Anna, was posted to YouTube on Wednesday. Guitarist Josh Rann wrote in the caption, this is the last of the three songs that Roy had. The track ended up on the special edition for...
This one is called Anna.
Annabelle.
Audio Secrecy. this version has...
This song is called Annabelle.
Annabelle.
Has different lyrics than the Audio Secrecy version. It just cracks us up, doesn't it?
And probably just us.
Annabelle. All right, and then one last story, and it's a sad note, but Melissa Etheridge, we really don't play here on MMR, but no. I consider her part of the rock world.
One of the best concerts I ever saw was Melissa Etheridge with Bruce Hornsby.
Oh, she's great.
Yeah.
She appeared on Good Morning America to talk about how she's dealing in the recent death of her son. Etheridge's 21-year-old son, Beckett Seifert, died in May of a drug overdose. She updated the public on how she's been holding up over the past month and a half. She said, time does heal. It's only been a couple of months, but I've been busy and I've made myself busy. You go one day at a time and you get through the grief that you get through the healing. We have the Etheridge Foundation, which I'm very intense about, raising funds for research into what we can do about this disease. And she spoke frankly about how opioids came in to ensnare his life. She said he loved to snowboard, and that's where he broke his ankle, and that's where he started the whole downward spiral of this, you know, painkillers.
It's the same. Tony Luke has the same story with his son, who had a physical injury, got on these things, got addicted, and that was that.
It happens way too often.
Yeah. She said, you do everything you can because you're a parent. You know, you think, what could I have done? Could I have done any more? And there has to be a place where you think, of course I did everything I could. I loved him. I loved him. I loved him. And there's just a place where you have to start loving yourself. So that's what she had to share about that. I thought that was pretty pretty interesting and
profound.
Very good words, yeah. All right, we are going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to wrap this whole thing up. But not before we get you the letter of the day for the Word of the Week prize and see what Pierre's got going on. So that is when we return. Stay with us.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
I would like to thank Mr. James Van Riemsdyk, or Jimmy Van Riemsdyk, or Jim Van Riemsdyk, or the Reamer.
Yeah,
we went through a whole host of names with him. He was great. It was awesome to talk to him. You can tell he's excited about playing hockey, and it'll be nice to see those guys playing again. He's a new daddy and everything, so we had a great conversation with him. So always nice to talk to JVR, and it's always nice to talk to Pierre Robert.
Yeah.
Who is here this morning?
Yo,
buddy. Bro. How you be?
Good.
How the last 24 hours treated you?
I'm just trying to keep my droplets in.
Your droplets, keep them in, please.
Stop
do.
Spraying them around.
Exactly.
Hurling your droplets all over the place.
Stop spraying.
You're not a young man anymore.
You're exactly
with your
right.
Droplets.
Right. Keep those droplets.
Hey, what are you doing lately? Like, now that there's no concerts, like, what have you been doing?
We were just talking about that last week. You got free time.
Yeah,
you're organizing, right? You're getting it all together.
Yeah, I've been trying to do that, but I haven't made much progress. On Fridays, I'm invited to Zoom Bingo.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So rock and roll.
It doesn't, I mean, it's pretty edgy.
you know, you do a line of coke and then you
and then you draw a number.
No, I don't do that.
That was a warning.
That's the old
for you.
Yeah.
That's a different time.
I really never did much of that, but that was a long time ago. Yeah. Anyway, so I'm not doing much. I've had two dine outs. One about a month ago, when they first started opening on Rittenhouse Square with some friends, or, you know, just three of us. And that was great. And then I had one at this place out here called Savona. And they put this giant wedding tent out in their parking lot.
I live near there. I've never been, though. It's nice.
It's really great.
Okay.
Some places have really accommodated. Like, if you go down, some places have actually, they've allowed them to go into the street a little bit.
And
honestly, if you can, support those places.
Well, yeah. This building was Aaron Burr from the Revolutionary War. It was his home. But it's been a restaurant for a long time. But what they did in their back parking lot is they constructed a giant wedding tent.
Yeah.
With this base, and it's really quite lovely, and everyone's far away, and they have fans in it and everything. So there are places now, but with the, are we restricted again? Have we been pulled back in again, or
a little bit
in the city proper?
The governor announced last night that they're reducing the restaurants to 25% indoor. They were at 50, but they're pulling it back a little bit.
Okay.
Yep.
So there's some indoor dining, but still mostly outdoor.
Right. Okay. And alcohol, if you're going to have alcohol, you can't just go into a bar and get booze. You have to be eating and you can have booze. So there's some little things that they're adding to that.
Well, can you, because for a while, which was made it a little bit like New Orleans, you could go up to a bar and get booze to go.
I think you can still do that.
You can still get the booze to go,
but you don't have to enjoy it.
Right.
I was after that same dinner with some friends of mine. I took a long stroll down Walnut Street. I hadn't seen some of the damaged buildings, and I was looking at the damage. Well, I sort of was curious how that was, and then I crossed Broad and I kept going, and there are a bunch of taverns that have outdoor things, and I went into one and I said, "How does this work?" She said, "What do you want?" And I go, "Like a margarita." And I came out with this giant plastic thing of margarita.
I'm curious about, because there are open container laws.
It has to be sealed. So if you get alcohol to go, it has to be sealed. Did it have a top on it, Pierre?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Until you take it home?
Right.
He was walking all over town with it. In fact, if you're going to do all this crap, may I suggest you let people walk along and drink their goddamn drinks?
I have a feeling they're probably, Kathy, going to be a little lenient
right
on
they,
that.
I don't think you're supposed to, but...
Look at this garden.
Yeah.
this window box. I am going to take a picture of this.
Oh, me? I'm on the radio.
And I have to pee.
Yeah, that's a tough thing about when you're out walking around boozing, you can't find a place to pee. Yeah.
They just don't want you to gather and linger. So like ordering a drink at a bar and standing at the bar drinking it right next to somebody else. Like that's
so walk
the reason
along and
for
drink.
The yeah, okay. the to go and take it out.
And then if you have to pee, piss on the uncollected garbage.
Right. Exactly.
Okay.
It's never been a better time. Yeah.
You know, when I need solutions, that's why I turn to you, Steve.
Yes.
All right.
The mountains of uncollected garbage, piss on those.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think we've solved all our problems.
There we go.
Right.
We still got one problem.
I'll handle any case you need to if you get called before a judge.
Thank you.
We still have one problem. We need a letter, sir.
Yes.
Okay.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right. The Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by The Letter.
L as in letter.
All right, we have an L, and we only have one more to go. That comes up tomorrow, and we'll have a chance to win a Pie Zeke round barbecue and fire pit kit from Landis Block. Landis Block, start imagining your own backyard paradise by looking at the photo gallery online, and you can see that at landisbc.com. So what's in store for today, sir?
Well, we've got some birthdays. And one of them is Ed Kowalczyk of Live. So we're going to do Workforce Block. We're going to get into a block of the Gin Blossoms. They're really fun. Mm. They got some great upbeat songs. And there's another birthday, a fellow drummer, and he is 68 years of age today. And Do we have the little
clip?
Yes, we do. Good morning, Preston. You can kiss my ass.
Stuart Copeland of the Police. So we'll great do a block of the Police.
Excellent.
Good morning, Preston. You can kiss my ass.
Love that. Thank you for getting that for me.
It's my honor and great pleasure.
Nice. All right. I want to say thank you to our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show has been brought to you today by Acme Markets, fresh foods, local flavors. Also, HERS, the official chip of taking your summer to the next level. And finally, from Hyundai City Park, shop this the summer drive sales event for sizzling hot discounts only at HyundaiCity.com. Tomorrow on the show, as we wrap up the week and give away our Word of the Week prize and everything, we have a last-minute addition to the guest list, and that is Mr. Vernon Reed, guitarist of Living Color.
Yeah,
nice. He had a post about MMR on Twitter, I think it was.
Yep.
The other day, it was just it was out of the blue, and somebody here saw it. It might have been Marissa, I'm not sure. And I was like, well, you know what? Let's get him on. So we absolutely will. And he was talking about how MMR is integral in getting their career going.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So we'll have him on and get into some other stuff. That's it. We're done. Rage on. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
I hate the medical profession. You go do stuff, they tell you you're all paid up, and a month later you get a bill in the mail. It's just wrong.
Next message.
To comment on Casey Boy's little story about his toilet issue. Merry Christmas, ball. Ha ha ha!
Next message.
Man, I just heard that guy screaming about the traffic when they had 3 months to complete it. I'm right there with you, motherfucker!
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.